All right, I guess it's probably working. All right.
Good.
Yeah, okay. All right, so we are holding on Nun Aleph Omer Aleph, three lines from the top. Okay, we left off. Yeah, so we left off with the beginning of a discussion about you have an Avodah Zarah that's normally worship with a stick. And Rashi learns worship with a stick in the sense that it's a normal thing, let's say, to wave or bang around a stick in front of it. So if a person then were to break a stick in front of it, then he would be chayev, because that's considered avodah, that's the equivalent of shechting an animal. But if he were to throw a stick in front of it, he's potter, and he said the reason is because throwing has to be drift on the shtabera. It has to be a break of throwing, like a thing breaks, like blood, that it breaks into smaller bits, exactly. So you have actually, by the way...
You could have said that it should have been any fluid, it could have been solid.
What? Right, well, that's because the point is it could be solid. That's what Gemara said, but soya lacha, the last thing he said, is, for example, soya could be moist soya, where, again, it breaks into droplets.
Not
really
solid, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay, by the same logic, Tosafot says, for example, if you were to break stones in front of a miracleist, then you would also be chayev, because then you have, because the normal thing is to throw stones at it. So like this, breaking stones in front of it would be the equivalent of shchita. The Rashi learns, by the way, basically, Rashi learns throughout the studio that essentially you have three criteria whether something is going to be considered avoida and whether something is going to be tikroivis for avodah zarah. Is it something like, pretty much exactly like they did in the Beis HaMikdash, then you're chayev regardless? Is it something similar to the Beis HaMikdash, but not exactly? Then it depends whether this is something customarily done for this avodah zarah. For example, and Tosfos holds pretty much the same way. So, for example, in the case of here, the soya or the meraglaim, it would have to be that the avodah zarah is normally worshipped using those items, just not necessarily by smearing it on them or sprinkling it or pouring it in front of them or whatever, but in some other way. And if it's not at all like that, then you only chayev if that's the normal way of worshipping the avodah zarah, like throwing stones at meraglaim.
One exactly like that?
So one exactly, one similar, and one not at all. The Ramban collapses those first two together. He says it doesn't really matter whether it's exactly like in the Beis HaMikdash or similar, as long as either way you'd be chayev. And if it's not at all like in the Beis HaMikdash, even if it's not something that's normally used for the avodah zarah, for example, again, the soya or meraglaim wouldn't matter even according to him, even if this particular avodah zarah had never worshipped using soya,
still
it's still similar enough because, as you said, it's zrikah mishtaberet. And therefore, you'd be chayev for it. Tosfos basically says the same as Rashi. They explain in more detail how we get it out of the story. But yeah, all right. So the question is, lema katanoi. Should we say that this point of Rav is actually the subject of machlokes tanoi? We learn in Braisa, shachat lachogav. If a person goes and shechts a grasshopper in front of an avodah zarah. And again, okay, so actually there is a bit of a difference between Rashi and Tosfos in this regard, because Rashi says that we're talking whether this avodah zarah is customarily served using it in this way or not. And Tosfos says it would have to be, again, that it's talking about that it's normally worshipped with grasshoppers in some way, just not necessarily by shechting.
So Tosfos says it has to be almost exactly like the normal worship of the avodah zarah?
Well, that's what we're going to get into, so one second. You know what, let's learn the Gemara first and then it. Okay, so Shochat Mochogav, Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev Bachachamim Parit. Rabbi Yehuda says that the person is chayev, and the Chachamim say he's potter. My lab b'hokamifagi. Now, isn't that the underlying machlokas? Demar sover amrinin kein zvicha. Namely, you have therefore that Rabbi Yehuda would hold that shechting a chogav is sort of like zvicha, right? And therefore, so it's not literally because chogavim grasshoppers don't need to be shechted. Therefore, it would be like breaking a stick. It would be like breaking the same way. It's breaking a stick. A stick is not an animal, but we said breaking a stick is the equivalent of shechting an animal, and therefore a person is chayev. So Rav would be agreeing with Rabbi Yehuda then. And the Chachamim would say, Potter, the Chachamim, Omar Sava Leimrin, and Kain Zvicha, Ela Kain Pnim. The Chachamim would say it's not good enough if it's similar to shechting. It has to be similar to what they did in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, they never shechted grasshoppers. Therefore, the
Chachamim.
Zvicha means shechting.
Yeah, I understand that, but what does it mean, chefing like in the Beis HaMikdash, or could...
Well, that's what we have to figure out, in other words. When we say, you don't normally have to shecht grasshoppers. You can't really say that shechting a grasshopper is like shechting an animal or a bird or whatever that actually needs shechta. Mm-hmm. So therefore, and nevertheless, the Yehuda says you're chayev, the Chachamim say you're not. So evidently, that's the fundamental machlokes. So this, that Rav is saying, like breaking a stick. would be subject to that machloka. So the Yehuda would agree that breaking a stick, therefore, is chayev. The Chachamim would disagree, because breaking a stick is like shechting a chogav. It's not something normally done. It's not a avodas pnim. It's not something similar to what's done in the Beis Hamikdash. And therefore, they say it's possible.
So Chachamim go by the standard, it has to be similar to what was in the Beis Hamikdash.
Well, again, that's, you have the machloka, the Rishonim that I just talked about to understand what exactly the criteria are. You have Rashi and Tosfos, who's somewhat similar, and versus the Ramban, and you have the Ramban's Shisha, we'll get to later, but yeah, so you have, there is what to talk about, but yeah. Okay, so anyway, the answer is no. Ella, no. Ka'in ponim, no, loy, the answer is no. The kula alma loy, no, that's not the meaning of it. You can't say that Rav's statement is subject to this machlokes tanaim. Rather, we can say, neither the Chachamim nor Rabbi Yehuda hold that it's good enough in order to be chayev for it to be ke'en zvicha. Therefore, even Rabbi Yehuda would say yipotter with a stick, which means, in other words, both of them contradict Rav. Why aren't we saying that Rav is completely contradicted? Fine, because one answer is because Rav is a Tana and Rav is able to argue with Panoyim when necessary. The Gemara doesn't say that in so many words, but we can understand it that way. This is how Rashi moves anyway. Again, Tosfos and other Rishonim talk about that you don't necessarily have to say that the Gemara means to say that Rav is necessarily disagreeing with both Tanoim. The Kol Am Aloyim and Kain Zvicha El Kain Pnim Veinen. Everybody would agree, both the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda would hold that it's not enough if it's Kain Zvicha. It does have to be Kain Pnim, similar to something done in the Mishnah. The shiny Chogav is different in the case of a grasshopper, Hoyo, the Savora, Jomel, Sava, Behemoth, because even though it's an insect rather than an animal, it has a neck, it has a neck-like thing between its head and its body. Therefore, in that sense, it's similar to the shechting of an animal. So therefore, again, according to Rashi, even you're talking about this animal was never, this Avodah Zarah, is never worshipped using grasshoppers. Nevertheless, in that sense, Rabbi Yehuda can argue that shechting a grasshopper is similar enough to shechting an animal. It's similar to Avodah Pnim, and therefore you can be chayav for it. And the Chachamim would say that not, but it has to be an actual animal. Again, according to Tosfos, we're talking about that here we're talking about an Avodah Zarah that is normally worshipped using chagavim, but in some other way. Let's say they normally crush them in front of it, or whatever they do exactly, and here this person chose to shest it. So again, then what you have... Rashi would say it doesn't matter whether the Avodah Zarah is normally worshipped using Kadav. Because according to the Yehuda, we would say that at least it's similar in the sense that it's similar enough to shesting an animal. And the Chum would say it's too dissimilar, right? Yeah. So for example, the Rambam passes on this, that the Rambam just says that if a person shechts the chagav for Avodah Zarah, then he's potter unless the Avodah Zarah is normally worshipped as chagavim. So what does that mean? Is he understanding, which opinion is he following over here? Is he understanding on the face of it, that on the face of it, it means that he's following Rabbi Yehuda. And some of them are polishing more in that way.
The one says that shechting a chagav is not generally used.
One second. So now the
or in this
no. So okay. What we're saying is similar to shechting an animal in the sense that it has a neck like an animal. The Rambam is writing that only if the Avodah Zarah is normally worshipped as chagavim. The Rambam doesn't spell out though whether he means that it's normally worshipped by shechting chagavim here, or whether he means that it's worshipped with chagavim in some other way, not necessarily by shisha. So therefore, that comes up. Is the Rambam understanding according to the Chachamim, or is he understanding according to the Yehuda? Is he understanding according to the Yehuda using Tosfos' explanation, or is he understanding like the Chachamim? But it's two different ways of understanding the Gemara over here. It's either according to the Chachamim or according to the Yehuda, but which one is he following? Is he following Tosfos' understanding of the Yehuda? Or is he following the Chachamim, where the Chacham will say, well, obviously the Chacham will agree that the normal way to worship this idol is by shechting chagavim, there's no question.
Yeah, so the Chacham says it's dissimilar.
As long as it's not usually worshipped by shechting chagavim, right.
Right, it's dissimilar and
then, right. But that's the point, in other words. So the Rambam is saying only if it's normally worshipped with chagavim. So again, does that mean it's normally worshipped with shechting chagavim and this person shechted a chagav? Even the Chachamim would have to agree that that's all.
That's not what
the
Chachamim
says.
It's dissimilar.
The Chachamim say it's dissimilar, but they still agree. Everybody agrees. Look, throwing stone to Merkulis is completely dissimilar from the Mishmikdash. But a person is chayav because of Zerach Avedasa. You're confusing two different things over here. There's Zerach Avedasa. There's the normal way a particular Avedasa is worshipped. And then there's the Arba Avodas, the four things that are done.
That's
Now, everybody agrees, right? Everybody agrees, though, if the Avodah Zarah is worship, the normal way that it's worship, you definitely chayav. That's how you chayav for throwing stones in it. So again, when the Rambam says you're only chayav for shechting a chagav to Avodah Zarah if it's normally worship of a chagav, one way of understanding the Rambam is that he follows the Chachamim, because we usually do against Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore the Chachamim will agree if the Avodah Zarah is normally worshipped by shechting chagavim, only then you chayav, otherwise not, because it's not derech avedata, and it's not similar enough to the Beis Hamikdash. The other way of looking at it, so the Beis Yosef versus the Shach disagree on that. What does the Rambam mean? What does the Rambam mean to say that he follows Rabbi Yehuda? You chayev in this case, because this particular Avodah Zarah is not normally worshipped by shechting chagavim, fine, but it's worshipped using chagavim in some other way, and therefore shechting one is similar enough to Avodah, is similar enough to Avodah Tzim, because a chagav has a neck like an eel. Those are the two possible ways we're learning the Rambam. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Abavu, Amar Rav. Avodah Chachavim Sha'ozinos of a Machil. Here's another din related to what Rav said before. Again, an Avodah Zarah that's normally worshipped using a stick. Shavar Machil v'fanei Chayev v'nei Aseret. So if a person breaks a stick in front of the Avodah Zarah, again, as we said before, he's Chayev. Here's another detail we're adding. The stick itself becomes also as Hikroivus, because it was offered to the Avodah Zarah.
Right.
On the other hand, Zorach Machil v'fanei Chayev v'nei Aseret. But if a person were to throw a stick in front of it, he would be Chayev. He would be chayev because he worshipped the Avodah Zarah, but the stick wouldn't become awesome. Now again, why should that be different? Rav before said that he's potter for throwing a stick in front of it. The Rashi explains it's not a contradiction. The difference is, before we were talking about the Avodah Zarah is normally worshipped by waving a stick in front of it. Therefore, throwing a stick is not its normal Avodah.
No, it's waving a stick, it's normal
Avodah. That's right, just throwing is not. Right. And therefore, the only reason to be mechayev him, therefore, would be zrika, and he said it's not zrika mishtaberes, so therefore not. Here, we're talking about the normal way is to throw a stick in front of it, so therefore he's chayev. And however, the chiddush is, the einer ne'aseres, the chiddush is, nevertheless, the stick does not become tekroivus. And that's the point. Omalei rovel or
Nachman.
In the opinion of Rav Nachman. The Omalei rovel or Nachman, Maishna shover the havelei kein zricha. In that case, why he's saying if he broke a stick, then the stick becomes also, because it's like shechting an animal. Zorach nami havelei kein zricha. By that logic, throwing it should be the equivalent of zricha. Now before, Rava himself answered Rabbi that it's not zricha mishtaber. This is at an earlier stage. This is, because Gemara is not always in chronological order, of course. So this is when Rava is still a Talmud by Rav Nachman, so he didn't know that point yet. Amalei, so Rav Nachman tells him, like we said before, you have to have a zrika that breaks into pieces. So now, later on, when the previous discussion came up, then Rava
would...
Because the Gemara is going in a logical order, not necessarily. First we quoted Rav's original statement, now we're quoting another related statement. Okay, however, Rav asked Elamayasa, well, by that logic, if only a Zrika Mishtabere makes it to Kroilis, then you have to ask, Avnei Beis Merkulus Bamer Yosu. Then you have to ask, stones that are thrown at a Merkulus, how are they going to become also? In that case, if they're not considered to Kroilis, it's not Zrika Mishtabere, how are they becoming also in the first place? You throw a stone at Merkulos, okay. You're saying it's Derech Avedasa. Fine, here we're talking about Avodah Zarah, which is normally worshipped by throwing a stick in front of it, and you're still saying the stick doesn't become also. So why should stone thrown on a Merkulos become also? Amalei, said Rav Nachman tells him, after the Didikashali, you should know, I had the same question also when I was a Talmud. U'she'elte l'Rav Barabur, so I asked it to Rav Barabur, who was his Rebbe. Rav Baravur L'chia Barav, he in turn asked Chia Barav, his Rebbe. L'chia Barav asked his father, L'Rav. But Amalei, and Rav told, and it went down from generation to generation, the reason why those stones become ulcer, not the K'megadol Avodah Sechavim. Because, you're right, the stones don't become Tekroivet. However, it's like making the Avodah Zarah bigger. The whole point is, you start off with a small Merkulous pile, three stones, and eventually people throw stones at it. So therefore, the problem is not Tekroivet. The problem is that you're increasing the size of the Avodah Zarah itself. They become part of the Avodah Zarah. When you throw a stick in front of Avodah Zarah, it doesn't become part of the Avodah Zarah. But here, the stones actually become part of the Avodah Zarah.
The Avodah Zarah bigger.
Yeah. Okay, so then the question is, now that works according to the opinion, which we talked about it briefly in the previous paragraph. We're going to talk about it more extensively at the end of Nun Aleph on the day, in the beginning of Nun Beis on the Aleph. We have a machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. At what point does an Avodah Zarah become osur? As soon as it's made or only when it's worshipped? And we have machlokas Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva on that point. One opinion is Hanuchal Mandama, that works out according to the opinion, which is Rabbi Shmuel, Avodas Kechav and Shalovas Kechav Masura Miyad, that as soon as a goy makes an Avodah Zarah, it immediately becomes Asur. But as opposed to one of the, actually this is Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Rabbi Akiva says, a goy's Avodah Zarah becomes also as soon as he makes it, a Jew's Avodah Zarah only becomes also when he starts worshipping it. And Rabbi Shmuel says the other way around. We'll have a whole survey about it. Wait. Okay. So, according to Rabbi Akiva, then fine, that works out well. As soon as a goy makes an Avodah Zarah, it becomes also Bana, until he's mevatel it, very well. As soon as a goy throws a stone at this miracle that makes it taller to the Avodah Zarah, then it becomes also, okay. El Olamando, I'm an advocate of it, but according to Rabbi Shmuel, who holds that a goy's Avodah Zarah only becomes also when he first worships it, Tishkiri, then the stone that was just thrown should be Musa, the whole Kolcha, because the fact is he didn't worship it yet. Amalei,
did you say that making the Avodah Zarah is part of the worship?
Wait. Amalei, sort of Nachman answers him, Kol achas v'achas nafas avodis kechavim v'tikroivet l'chavacha. What happens is, you have the first three stones, let's say, then, for example, a goy comes and throws a fourth stone, what happens is, it becomes part of the Avodah Zarah, it also becomes like tikroivet to the previous three stones that were there, that represented the Avodah Zarah. And now you have the fourth stone now becomes part of the Avodah Zarah. So it's not full-fledged Tekrevis, again, because Tekrevis is only something that's Zrika Mishtaberes, and we established before a stone is not. But that fourth one becomes also because it was used as Tekrevis to the first three, and therefore now it became part of the Avodah Zarah. Now you throw a fifth one, and that becomes, again, it becomes of your, by it you're worshipping the first four stones over there and making it Tekrevis for them, and therefore it becomes also, and each one becomes also because it was used to worship the previous one. And we said before, so again, winner
becomes different.
So the Avodah Zarah itself becomes bigger and bigger. Each piece, as it becomes, each piece becomes part of the Avodah Zarah. Therefore, it becomes also at that time. But again, with sticks, each stick that's thrown in front of the Avodah Zarah doesn't become a part of it. Yeah,
unless the Avodah Zarah is made of.
Obviously, if it's made of sticks, that's different. Yeah, we're not talking about that. Okay. So the question is, well, by that logic, so if you had 10 stones there, let's say, and go through an 11th stone, that 11th one should be Mutter, because nothing was done to worship it yet. Yes, it became part of the Avodah Zarah. It was used as Tekrevis, but you just said before, what it is like this, again. So you have the first three, for example. Their Avodah Zarah, according to Rabbi Akiva, they become also immediately. According to Rabbi Shmuel, which is what we're dealing with over here, they only become also when they're worshipped. Fine, so according to him, the first three stones are not also yet. When do they become also? When a goy takes the fourth stone and throws it at them. That fourth stone accomplishes two things. Number one, it becomes Tekrevis. Number two, by that, it makes that now the first three are now also Bahana. Because they now have become an official of the Zarah, because they've now been worshipped for the first time.
Without destroying the fourth, they were.
No, they weren't, because they were designated as an Avodah Zarah. According to Rabbi Shmuel, it only becomes also when it's worshipped. Then you have four stones over there. Now all those four are Avodah Zarah. The fourth one has not been worshipped yet. Now when a goy comes and throws a fifth stone, it becomes. That's an act of worship towards all four stones.
It's not when it's worshipped, it's when it's thrown.
No, well, when it's thrown, it was the act of worship.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the point, in other words. So therefore, in other words, according to him, the fourth stone only becomes also when you throw the fifth stone, and the fifth stone only becomes also when you throw the sixth stone, etc. But each one has not been worshipped yet, and until the next stone is thrown. So therefore, the question is, the last stone that was thrown should be Mutter B'Hana, according to Rabbi Shmuel.
That comes back to determining whether or not each time it's a new Avodah Zarah. If it was the same Avodah Zarah, every stone should be with us.
But if we're saying, no, but what we're saying is that, what we're saying is, each one, yes, it becomes part of the Avodah Zarah, but it still has to be worshipped, according to Rabbi Shmuel, in order to be us. And again, according to him, any Avodah Zarah that's not worshipped is not yet also of a goy, that is. The stone has to actually be worshipped. How is it being worshipped? L'chor only when the next stone is being thrown.
Why is that?
Because what act of worship has been done?
The throwing it, at least on
the Gemara's current assumption, is worship to the previous stones that are there. It's not an act of worship yet for this stone itself that you're throwing. That's the Gemara's going to take that up in a minute.
That's
the nuance then. So then in that case, the
stone, in other words, when you throw it, is not being worshipped.
Is not yet being worshipped on the face of it. It's being used as tikroivus for the previous one. Right. But Rabbi Nachman established before that tikroivus is only also if it's zrika mishtaberes, only if it breaks into pieces, and here it doesn't. So what makes the last stone also b'hana?
I don't
Amalei, Siddur Menachem tells him, you're right, in principle it should be. Yeah, the slow zil shakla, fine. If you can recognize which is the last stone, fine, according to Rabbi Shmuel, you would be allowed to take it. Because you're right, it hasn't been worshipped yet. But in practice, you can't. You don't know which was
right,
the last one.
Right.
Rav Ashi.
That's only according to the opinion says
yeah.
After it's worshipped.
Right, again, according to Rav Akiva, then it becomes also as soon as it nays. There's no question about it. Rav Ashi. Omar Rav Ashi says, here's a different answer. Kol achas, like you just said, kol achas v'achas nafsis hikrevis la'asma v'tikrevis l'chavito. What happens is, each stone, as it's thrown, it becomes its worship. It itself is being worshipped. It itself is being worshipped as it's being thrown, and then it becomes part of the Avodah Zarah. So therefore, Rav Ashi is saying, not like Rav Nachman is saying to Rava, it's fine, in principle, if we could recognize the last stone. No, even the last one is still going to be also Asabana. That's it. Okay. So now let's get back to, getting back to the main point again. We started the sugya by quoting Rav Zin, that if a person breaks a stick in front of Avodah Zarah, then he's chayev, because that's considered like the equivalent of shechting an animal. But if he threw a stick before it, then only if the Avodah Zarah is normally worshipped using sticks. So, now let's look at our Mishnah and figure this out.
Now what are we trying to
do? We're trying to establish this Zrika Mishtaberes business.
Haven't we proved that?
We said that the Amoraim hold of Zrika Mishtaberes, but we have to have a source for it. Let's see if we can disprove it from a Braisa. Tanan, we learn in the next Mishnah, Motza Baroshe Ksusumot, if you find on top of an Avodah Zarah, Rashi says there it means specifically miracles, other Mephoshim say it means more generally Avodah Zarah, whatever, anyway. So you find on top of it clothes or money, or you find utensils on top of it, Harela Mutarin, and they're Mutar B'Hanah, the reasons that we'll discuss on Amud Beis, because they were put there in a way not to honor the Avodah Zarah, but rather to degrade it. On the other hand, Pachile Anovim, but if you find over there bunches of grapes, Vahtoris Shel Shibolim, or wreaths made out of stalks of grain, the Yenis Shmonim Slothis, so you find there wine or oil or fine flour, V'chol Dover Shakiyet to the Kar of Lagabi Mizbeach, or anything that something of that sort would be offered on the Mizbeach, also, then it's also, because that's considered Tikrevis.
But Mayas, you could consider it as an offering.
Not if it's placed in a derogatory way on the head of the Avodah Zarah. We'll see on Amud. No, not on the head. Whatever. We'll see on Amud Beis. Right. Anyway, the question is: B'shlemi yenis shmonim uslosis ikh gain pnim. I can understand why wine and oil and flour would be also, because those, even if it's not normal to worship the Avodah Zarah in that way, it is derech pnim, and we established before that if it's derech pnim, then it's chay. Then not only is chay, but it comes also as tikrovus, regardless whether it's a normal thing for the Avodah Zarah. Ella. But what about these bunches of grapes or these wreaths made out of stalks of grain? You don't have either. It's not ke'en pnim, because nothing of that sort is brought in the business. They didn't bring actual bunches of grapes. They made wine out of the grapes and brought them.
They didn't bring wood.
Then yeah, wood, and the same thing. They didn't make wreaths out of stalks of grain. They brought flour. Again, you're not a Zrika Mishtaberes either, because you throw these things, they don't necessarily break up into a bunch of pieces. So why should we say that it's the Krevis? By Rav Nachman's logic, they shouldn't be. The answer is Amar Rava, Amar Olak, Gensha Botsrim, the Tchil Lekach. The case we're talking about over here is that these grapes or this grain was originally harvested for the state of Avodah Zarah. So what does that accomplish? Rashi says, in that case, it's the equivalent of breaking a stick. The same way as breaking a stick, we establish it's chayev, because that's like checking an animal. Similarly, harvesting grapes or harvesting grain in honor of Avodah Zarah is fundamentally like that. Also, is like checking an animal for Avodah Zarah. Therefore, they're also on that ground. Not because it's Cain Pim, but because it's in that sense. Well, because it is sort of Cain Pim in that sense, like trapping an animal.
That goes more like Rabbi Akiva rather than...
No. Well, that, what does that have to do with Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel? You were talking to Kruism. The Avodah Zarah itself has already been worshipped before.
Yeah,
but you were dealing with Kruism. No, that has nothing to do with it. Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva is not about when Kruism becomes also. It's about when does the Avodah Zarah itself become also.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was talking about Kruism. So Rashi learns like that, but that's the verse that the Gemara is saying, that the goy harvesting these things is fundamentally the equivalent of shechting an animal. Some of the other Rishonim, the Ritva, and others learn that there's another verse also. You have something similar to it was brought in the Mishnah, because they brought Bikurim. be quite inconsistent of actual grapes and actual grain. So in that sense, it can be considered cane pneum. It can be considered something similar. But then the Gemara thought that not, because not Zuka Mishabedas, it's not cane pneum. But the answer is
they
didn't offer on the Mizbeach per se. They brought it into the Azara and gave it to the Kohen and waved it and gave it to the Kohen. But yeah, okay. All right. Amar Rabba Bahu Amar Rabbi. Minayim l'zegeach behema balas mum laver is kachavim shur potter.
How do we... conclusion.
So far we have, fine, we have a source to say that so we don't have anything to disprove, at least, this idea of zrika mishtaberes. Even you can argue pachile and novim and whatever are not zrika mishtaberes, but they're also on a different ground. So we can still stick with what we said, that it has to be zrika mishtaberes. Fine. Amar Rabbo Amar Yechina. Minayim l'zegeach behema balas mum laver is kachavim shur potter. How do we know a person shech an animal that has a mum for Avodah Zarah, that he is potter for the isser of worshipping Avodah Zarah? I mean, not that he did an isser, but at least that he's not chayiv misa or chatas or whatever. How do we know?
They didn't shecht an animal that had a mum.
Hold on, that's what we have to figure out. Shenema, zeveach lo elekim yochram bilti l'ashem levade, because the pasuk says anybody who sacrifices to other gods, to gods, meaning to geshkes, shall be destroyed, unless he sacrifices to Hashem alone. You can only sacrifice to Hashem alone. Yochram means he should be destroyed, he should be killed. Bilti l'ashem levade, the only one that you can sacrifice to is Hashem, meaning by putting that together, the Torah is saying, let osra Torah, elekein pnim. The Torah, therefore, is only answering when what was shechted to the Avodah Zarah is similar to what's done in the Beis Mikdash. Now, that's the point. It's a Baal Mum, it's not similar. Now, is Rabbi Yochanan necessarily disagreeing with Rav before? So one way of looking at it that some of the Rishonim has is, yes, he's disagreeing. Rav said before, for example, about breaking a stick, which obviously is not something that they offer in the Mishnah. They never broke sticks in the Mishnah. And yet Rav says he's chayev, and Rabbi Yochanan is saying it's possible. So obviously they must be arguing with each other, and therefore, and in fact, some of the, and that, then if they're arguing, then you have the question, well, who is the halacha like? And a lot of times we say, in general in Shas, we say when the halacha is Rav versus Rabbi Yochanan, usually the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan. Especially if we argue before that Rav was being contradicted by the Braisa before, which is one way of looking at it. On the other hand, not necessarily are they contradicting each other. Because we could be dealing with the issue of is this an Avodah Zarah that is normally not worshipped using animals at all? Tosfos learned that way, for example. So therefore, here we're talking about an animal that's not necessarily normally worshipped with animals, an Avodah Zarah that's not necessarily worshipped using animals at all. So therefore, it's like we talked about before, an Avodah Zarah is not necessarily worship using sticks. Then that's a whole different kind of thing. You also have a shita of the Rambam, who apparently understands that a behema balas mum, there's a specific reason based on this passage to exempt it from the usual rules. So fine, if you have an Avodah Zarah that's normally shared, again, the Rambam would understand. If you have an Avodah Zarah that's normally worshipped by offering to blemished animals, sure, of course, you're chayev, because that's derech avodah, but otherwise, it's derech akasa, but not. So therefore, it wouldn't apply to all the other cases before. It would be a special case.
So they may be arguing, or they may not.
Right. Okay. Havi bar Rabba. So now Rabba wondered about that. So you're telling me this did, but let's consider, what kind of mum are we talking about? Remind, what kind of mum does this animal have? Ilema bedukin shabai. You know, you're talking about that it just has a cataract or a spot or whatever in its eye, because there's a difference. Mm-hmm. There's two different types of mum. Because the difference is hashtag of Nenoya Hazula Gavaria Babamaditu, because an animal that only has Dukin Shabai, and that only has a minor mum like that, cataract or whatever, is suitable. We can't bring it on Arm Mizbeach, whether it's a Jew or a Goy offering it. However, a Goy would be able to bring it on a Bama of his own to offer to Hashem. So therefore, Labrador is a Chabmin. Oh yeah, do you need anything to tell us?
Goy, but not a Jew.
Obviously, but the point still is, it is something that a Goy is capable of bringing as a Korban to Hashem. The point is, in other words, if that's the only kind of mum it has, of course you're chayav for shechting it for Avodah Zarah. That is, in that sense, bilti l'Hashem levade. It's something that the Goy could have offered to Hashem, and yet he chose to offer it to Avodah Zarah. Obviously, he'd be chayav, and if a Yid were to do it, he'd be chayav also. There's no chiddush in that. Ela b'mechoser eiver. No, what we have to be talking about is the mum that we're talking about is, it's actually missing a limb. Okay. Where there, they can't offer it. The cheder of Elazar, and this would go like Rebbe Elazar, which we learned back near the beginning of the Masechta and Daf Vav, We had a story over there. Omar of Allah, Zuminayim Machut to Eva Shu also Lubnei Nayach. We said that how do we know that an animal that's missing a limb is also for Bnei Noyach to offer to Hashem? And Lahavdil, we said over there, they wouldn't normally offer it to their geshkas either. That's what we discussed before, therefore, near the beginning of the Sefer, that therefore you could be allowed to sell them an animal with a mum because they're not going to offer such a thing. So that's the point. So here you could have an exception. Every rule has exceptions. You could have some particular avodah zarah where they came up with a ritual that you have to offer it blemished animals specifically. But otherwise we're talking about ordinarily. So we said there's a context we said over there in the Gemara was we said that you're not allowed to do business with goyim. You're not allowed to sell them, for example, 3 days before Chaga of theirs because we said that they're going to be checking the animals for mumim. So we said, why only 3 days? For all you have to tell you, we need 30 days. And we said, because we have a lot of halachos and we have a lot of mumim to check out, whereas they only have mechus to eva, 3 days is quite enough for them. And then that's what we discussed over there, the fact that Bnei Noach are not allowed to offer a mechus to eva, even on a Mizbeach of their own, which it was in today's Rambam Shlosha Prakim actually, that a goy is allowed to bring a korban to Hashem anywhere in the world they want, and they don't have to follow all our rules. In particular, as we're saying over here, they're not allowed to bring an animal that's mechuser eiver, but they're allowed to bring an animal that has a more minor one, sort of a cataract or whatever. And they don't have to have they have to have some kind of mizbeach, but they don't have to have all the usual rules that we have, and we're allowed to give them instructions what to do, which is not allowed to help them.
So that's the source.
So I mean, nine mechus to eva shu also was ben noyach. How do we know that a ben noyach is not allowed to bring a korban to Hashem of an animal missing a limb? Shenemo mikol achai mikol baser, because Hashem tells noyach when he's taking the animals into the teva, from all living, from all flesh, shnayim mikol, you have to bring into the teva two of every type. Meaning, and now the point is obviously it was two of all the trace animals, it was seven of all the kosher animals, and why is he telling them to take in animals? Some of them are going to end up being korbanos. Omra Torah, Hove Behema Shachayim Roshe Ezor Inshallah. The Torah is telling them only bring in animals that the ends of its limbs are still alive, because some of these animals are going to have Shachayim, that they're alive, that they're still intact. Roshe Ezor Inshallah, the ends of its limbs. So therefore we see that an animal can't be Mechoser Ezor. So the question is, how do we call a Chayim
Roshe Ezor?
Roshe Ezor, the tips of the, obviously it's the tip of a limb is intact, and the whole limb is intact, right?
Yeah.
And that's the point, it's not Mechoser Ezor, it's not missing a limb. You can't think of it. You can't have, for example, it can't still have its hooves and be missing an upper part of its leg.
You can't have an arm without its hand and it's still alive.
That's the point.
Rosh Eivar,
the ends of the limb. It's the end of the limb.
Rosh means the end.
Rosh means the end, the tips. Like if the tips are alive and the whole thing.
Would mean to be the beginning.
No. Rosh means the end, like the heads of it. Right. So the question is, we have this whole sugya almost word for word earlier on Daf Hey Daf Rav. Hi, or Mikolachai Miboilo the Ma'usa Tsefa. Don't you need the word Mikolachai to teach us that none of the animals that should be taken into the teva should be tsefa, that none of them should have fatal injuries, that they die within a year? The answer is Melahachis Zeranasan. We don't need the word Mikolachai for that. We have the word that Hashem tells him later on that you need to bring in animals into the teva, Lahachis Zera, in order to keep seed alive.
And
a tsefa is not able to have children. Yeah. So the question is, that works according to the opinion, which is, by the way, accepted by halacha, that a tsefa is not
have children.
What?
A pig has children.
What is it? Not tsefa in the sense of a non-kosher animal. Tsefa in the sense of an animal that has a fatal injury.
Oh, I see.
Yes. An
organ that's
yes. Hanichalamanda ama trefa and yaled. That's fine. That only works according to the opinion that a trefa is not able to have children. Now, but we'll learn about the details about that in Kolin. It's actually not Kolin, as we're going to see in Ogamon. For example, you could have, for example, an animal has problems with, not missing a lung even, but it has a hole in its lung, it has 70 different conditions that the Rambam lists in
Kolin's
treatment. But you have, for example, a number of different kinds of lung problems, a number of different problems with the membranes around the brain, various possible problems with other internal organs that have holes or otherwise are defective or whatever. So the point is that the definition of a today, official definition of a tzeifa, is that it won't be able to live with this condition for 12 months. Although, again, when we learn cholin, we'll learn it's not. Right. But then basically, that's supposed to be the idea. And the other idea, and you have a machloikas on that, is such an animal capable of having children. Now, if it's already pregnant, it's different. For example, a hen that already has eggs that are already inside it, fine, it can lay them.
That's what we mean by saying that a tresa cannot have children or can
have children. Right. So Hanichlam on a Trefa any of it. It's fine. According to the opinion that a Trefa is not able to have children, it's fine. Then a Trefa is excluded because the Chayat Zera, because they're not going to be useful in order to produce future generations. Elam on a Trefa Yeledis, but according to the opinion, in Chulin over there, that a Trefa is perfectly well able to have children. So Mayikul Mema, then what are you going to say? It's not excluded by Lachayas Zera. Yeah. So you still need then, Lachayas Zera still teach, so then you need a Mikol Lachay to teach us, not a Shreifa. How is Mikol Lachay available to teach us about that it can't be Mechotzer Eber? And remember, Mechotzer Eber and Shreifa are not necessarily the same thing. You can have an animal, for example, that's missing the bottom of its foot, that won't make it a Shreifa, it can still live, right. But it's Mechotzer Eber, yeah. Okay, the answer is Amakra Itcha. Yes, but the Pasuk also says Itoch, actually. Hashem says to Noach, take in animals with you. Itoch means bedoimin loch, means they have to be animals that are similar to you, itoch, meaning not true.
Not like you.
But Itoch in the sense they should be like on the same level as you. Therefore, bedoimin loch, meaning that they have to be similar to you.
Itoch can mean
itoch can mean yeah. Yeah, there's some of them are Farshim in different aspects. Yeah, you have two words in Hebrew for with. You have S and you have in. Right. And you have different Farshim talk about which one means like with but not similar to and which one means with and similar to, whatever it is. Tomorrow, Gemara, it seems that Itzach at least can, in some cases, can mean similar to you. Yeah. Okay, so the question is, and the assumption is Noach himself wasn't a Tzreifer.
Right.
So the question is, maybe Noach himself was a Tzreifer. Well, so Rashi points out, I mean, he lived for many years after that. Still, maybe this opinion, maybe we could hold for this purpose that a Trefa does not necessarily mean that it's going to die within 12 months. Mm-hmm. Maybe if some certain kinds of Trefa injuries, a person could continue, or an animal could continue living on for a long time.
Yeah.
So again, maybe Noach has a Trefa, and Itzach does not come to exclude Trefa. So therefore, you need a Mikol Achai to exclude Trefa, and then Mikol Achai is not available to teach about Mechot Eber, exactly. In which case, Rashi points out that what you're doing is, how would Hachai mean not a Trefa? Because Hachai can also mean healthy. So Trefa is not healthy, therefore it would be excluded. But it's still there. So the answer is, no, Tomin, excuse me. No, but the Pasuk says, I'm not sure he was Tomin, he was perfect, implying he's not a Trefa. So the question is, Duma Tomin Bedracha? Maybe Tomin means that he's perfect in his ways, The answer is no, Tzadik, but it also says about him Tzadik, and one of those words is extra. So the question is, Dilma Tomim Bedracha of a Tzadik Lemaisa, maybe it means both. He was a Tomim in his ways, meaning in his thoughts and whatever, and a Tzadik in his actual action. Maybe in other words, his midas were good and his actions were good.
Okay.
The answer is, so still, how do you know Tomim, how do you know he could have been described as a Tomim morally and spiritually and whatever, but still in body he could have been a Tzadik. The answer is, Loi Motis Amrit, the Noach Gufer Tzadik have a fine, but you're not able to say, practically speaking, that Noach was a Trefa, and say that Itoch means that the animals should be, because after all, we have the word Itoch. The Isakudaita, Noach Trefa have a, if you're going to tell me Noach himself was a Trefa, why is the Torah using the word Itoch? Amalei Rachmona de Kavasach, Ayel Shlem and Moita Ayel. What's the logic? Hashem would be telling him, Dafka, bring in animals that are Trefa, that should be similar to you, and not healthy animals? That's illogical. So therefore, it's more logical to assume, given that we have the word Itoch, that Hashem meant that Noach himself is not a Trefa, and therefore
yeah.
Okay. Earlier in the Masechta, when we learned this, we talked about that how is Noach himself supposed to know that he's a Trefa? A person doesn't know unless that X-ray is taken. But basically, in other words, what we're saying is by Hashem telling him, by Hashem himself calling a Tzadik and a Tzomim and going to the Trefa, that amounted to saying you're not a Trefa, you're going to survive all this. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So, hashka de nafka me itoch, fine. And in that case, the bottom line is, we have the word itoch. Now that we've established Noach himself was not a Trefa, obviously then we have the word itoch, meaning the animals are similar to you. They're already not a Trefa. Lohaki is zero lomali. Then why do we need the word? We have three different phrases over here. We have mikol achai, which right now we're still saying, come to just not a mechotzer eber. We have lohaki is zera, to produce children, to produce future offspring. And we have itoch. Once we establish that itoch means they can't be a traitor, then why do we need lohaki is zera? The answer is ime itoch havamin or lohsav sabalma. Fine, but if you only had the word itoch and not the word lohaki is zera, then you would think, Hashem is telling him, bring in the animals to be company for you. You shouldn't be lonely. It doesn't matter whether the animals are capable of having children, even if they're old, even if they're infertile. Therefore, Kamash Malom, Mahakis Zera, therefore Hashem tells them, no, the purpose of them is to produce future generations, and therefore you have to make sure that they have that ability. Even if we say that a Shrefa is able to have children, they're excluded already from Esau. So we need all three. But no, because we need all three things. In other words, we need a Makalah Chai if they can't be missing limbs. We need Itzarach, they should be similar to you and not being Treifa. If we say that a Treifa can't have children, okay, then automatically it's concluded anyway. Even if we say that a Treifa is able to have children, though, then the point is, fine, I mean, a Treifa is already excluded anyway. But the point is, the Hachias Dera is, for other cases, an animal might not be a Treifa, but still not be able to have children for other reasons. It might be old or whatever. Therefore, you need all of them. So let's say those are the criteria. Anyway,
we established that.
The point, therefore, is, again, returning to our main point over here, therefore, an animal, bal mum, meaning mechoser eber, cannot be offered even by goyim to Hashem. Therefore, it's not similar in that sense to avodas pinim. It's not similar in that sense to what's done in the Beit Mikdash. So again, you have that mechoser rishonim, is Rav Yochanan therefore disagreeing with Rav and saying new criteria for when it becomes on the surface, yes, and then some of the rishonim learn that way. But on the other hand, we can understand, again, that maybe he's talking about, again, like Tosfos says, here we're talking about avodas zarah, never worship using animals. Therefore, you can't, if you shecht an animal to it normally, okay, that's avodas pinim. Otherwise, it's not similar to avodas pinim. It's not because they never offer blemished animals of that kind to Hashem. It's not the derech of the avodah zarah, because this avodah zarah is never worshipped using animals, period. And therefore, the only way to be mechayavim would be if it's the normal way to worship the animals this way. And the Rambam again writes that explicitly. That's the point. In other words, that even the fact that this avodah zarah is never worshipped using animals. So if you were to shecht an animal that has a minor mum, you would still be chayav because that's at least something that they can offer to Hashem. But here, where it has a major mum, that's the chiddush that they therefore you can't consider that. So you can't consider that.
Words agree on that.
So again, if we say that Rav and Rav Yerushalayim are disagreeing, then obviously they disagree. If we're saying they agree, then yeah, they could agree to that. So you have the different opinions among you. The Rambam paskins one way. He paskins that only if the avodah zarah is normally worshipped using blemished animals, would he be chayev? Otherwise, he's potter. Meaning, in other words, basically, he learns like Tosfos. The Leiber goes and argues with the Rambam on that. And Shulchan Aruch and also argues with the Rambam. So yeah, you have different opinions among them, different shittas on it. Right.
The central point of the machlokes
is Rav Yochanan disagreeing with Rav?
Right.
And if he is, who is the halacha like?
And according to the conclusion of this discussion, he still may be disagreeing?
He might be, because the fact is, Rav had said before, you break a stick, you're chayev, and a behemah baal mum is not any worse than a stick on the face of it. But again, we could distinguish between an avodah zarah that's normally worshipped using sticks versus an avodah zarah that's never worshipped using animals.
But the example with sticks means that it has to be exactly like a stick, or it can be slightly different from the normal way.
No, that was at the beginning of the sugya. We said, for example, that if the normal avodah zarah, again, Rashi had learned at the beginning of the sugya, for example, that here we're talking about, or actually the Gemara had said, sha'ovdin oisa b'makor, you have an avodah zarah that's normally worshipped with a stick. And the worship doesn't necessarily normally involve breaking sticks in front of it. It involves waving in front of it. But at least a stick, therefore, is an object used to worship this particular avodah zarah. As opposed to here, we could be talking about it, but avodah zarah never worship using animals. That's not an object ever used to worship this avodah zarah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that would be a distinction. Therefore, they're not necessarily arguing.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's the point. On the other hand, not necessarily. On the other hand, you could argue that maybe we are talking about an animal that's normally worshipped using sacrifices of animals. And here we're saying, though, that nevertheless, the baal mum is still exempt from that.
Yes.
And therefore, you'd necessarily be disagreeing, because then there's a...
So we haven't seen examples of animals that were worshipped with mum. We said they don't worship.
No. Again, that's the point. In other words, so Rav Yochanan would be saying, even though the avodah zarah is normally worshipped using animals, but it's only worshipped using whole animals, therefore an animal, a baal mum, even though this particular avodah zarah is normally worshipped using animals, nevertheless, you're still potter. That's how Tosfos learns, for example.
Right.
So according to that, it would mean that Rabbi Yochanan and Rav are disagreeing. Yeah. All right. Amar Abulazim. Minayim l'sheichet behem l'merkul l'shruchayim. Okay, more generally, how do we know a person shechts an animal? Now, here we're not talking about mum anymore. Here we're talking about a normal animal. A person shechts an animal to Merkulis, and Merkulis is not an avodah zarah that's ever worshipped using sacrificing at all.
Right.
It's worshipped by throwing stones at it or whatever.
Right.
So how do we know shu chayev? How do we know that such a person is chayev? On the face of it, it's not at all the normal way of worshipping the avodah zarah. The answer is shenema, because the pasuk says, "V'lo yuz b'chu oydas yivchayev masirim." The pasuk says that the Jewish people should no longer be sacrificing to demons. Demons meaning, in general, any power seemingly other than Hashem. am now, so you have to act. Now remember, again, we established before there's two basic types of Avodah Zarah. There's Kedarka, where it's the normal way to worship this Avodah Zarah in this way, and there's Shaloi Kedarka, but it's one of the four Avodahs. So which one is this Pasuk referring to? Im Eina Inim LeKedarka, given that we do not need this Pasuk to teach us that if it's the normal way of worshipping this particular Avodah Zarah using a sacrifice of an animal, we don't need this Pasuk to teach us Yichaya for that, because you learn that from a different Pasuk. You have a Pasuk in Parashat A that you should not say, how do the Goyim worship their gods, and I'm going to do the same thing. From that, we learn that anything that's normally done to a particular god, a Yid is not allowed to do. So, for example, I did find out they worship Melchalus with throwing stones at it. Hey, you know what? That sounds like a good idea. I'm going to do that as well. From that process, we learn that Kedarka is awesome. So we don't need Veloyiz Bechoydas Dibcheyem for that. But if you have an Avodah Zarah, where the normal way of worshiping it is by sacrificing an animal, we don't need this process Veloyiz Bechoyd to tell us you can't do that. Therefore, Tneu Inyan L'Shaloi Kedarka. Therefore, we apply this pasuk to talking about Shaloi Kedarka, that even if this Avodah Zarah is never worshipped using sacrifices, nevertheless, the person does that, he'll be fine. Yes, the question is, are you telling me that pasuk, is coming to teach us that concept? We need that to teach us a whole different concept. The context of that pasuk, is in Parshas Achrimos. In the middle of Parshas Achrimos, you have the first part that talks about the Avodah of Yom Kippur, which we read Yom Kippur morning. The second, the last part talks about Arayos, we read it Yom Kippur afternoon. In between is a short chapter, which deals with a couple of dinim of Sfaras Karbonis. And the basic idea over there is, you're not allowed to bring Karbonis outside the Beis HaMikdash. Right. If a person brings Karbonis outside the Beis HaMikdash, he's Chayav Karis.
Okay.
So, a Braisa says, you have two different sections in those Sukkim over there. The Pasuk starts off, but, yeah. Let me go get one, sure. Thanks. Oh, there are ones in here. There are ones in here. Okay. It starts off by Gabriel Shalom Shalom, Gabriel Anasetta. Ish we basically Asher Yishchat Shere Ketav Eiv Machna or Asher Yishchat Chutz Machna. Person shecht a korban in the machna or outside it and does not bring it to Petach Oyo Moed to shecht it, then he's guilty. L'man Asher Yaviru, in order that they should bring their korbanos that up until now they were bringing in the field, and they should bring them to Hashem. It said V'loy Yiz B'chor Yiz B'chayim, that's the particular recording, they shouldn't sacrifice the demon. Then you have new section. V'aleyam Tzayim, I tell them as follows. Ish Yishchat Meitzirom and Agir Asher Yogav Asetim Asher Yala Oyo Zabach. Person brings a korban, he will get karis. So why do we have two sections? So ad kan hu medaber v'shkodshim sheikdishim neshat isra bomis v'kudim neshat isra bomis. Up until here, the first few psukim of that section are talking about kodshim, which a person designated them at a time when bomis are osur, and then he offered them at a time when bomis are still osur. Now remember, there were periods in Jewish history when bomis, you were allowed to bring karbanos anywhere you want. Before the Mishkan was set up, afterwards, you have as follows. So before the Mishkan was set up, you can bring Karbanos anywhere you want. Then the Mishkan is set up, and for the next 40 years, you can only bring it there. After that, they came into Eretz Yisrael, and the Mishkan is temporarily set up in Gilgal. And those 14 years, you're allowed to bring Karbanos anywhere you want again. Then the Mishkan is set up in Shiloh. Once in Gilgal, yeah. The general rule is whenever the Aron is not together with the rest of the Mishkan, then that's the time when Bomer is the Mutter. So during the time in Gilgal, they had the Aron with them, because whenever they went to war, they took the Aron along. Therefore, it wasn't there all the time during those 14 years. Therefore, yeah. Then they set up the Mishkan in Shiloh and brought the Aron there. And for the next 369 years, Bomer is the author. Then the Plishtim destroyed Shiloh and captured the Aron, and even once the Plishtim had to send back the Aron, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, first it was in Kiryas Yarim, and then wherever, it was here and there. Eventually it was brought to Yerushalayim by David. Anyway, the bottom line is, for the next 57 years, you had the Mishkan first in Noiv, until Shaul wiped out all the Kayanim over there, and then in Givon, and for those 57 years, again, Bamis were Mutter. And then the Beth Mithras was built in Yerushalayim, and the Aron was brought there, and from then on, Bamis are forever all. Forever off limits, although we keep on finding in Sefer Malachim that nevertheless throughout most of the generations, throughout most of the Bais Rishon, they kept on bringing Karbanos on Bamis anyway, even though they weren't allowed to. It's not Avodah Zarah per se, but it could easily lead to Avodah Zarah. because once you're not bringing up the business anymore, it's very easy to also have an idea, you know what, I might as well set up a local statue or a local tree or whatever over here. There was a person does that, he's Chayav Karet. But it's over and over, and in Sefer Melachim, it keeps on saying, even by the kings who were good mostly, it keeps on saying, nevertheless, the people still kept on bringing Karbanos on Bavos. It was a real problem. It was a real problem until finally Yoshio destroyed all the Bavos right out of Israel. But anyway, the point is, so, the Braita says, the first few psukim over there are talking about kodshim that were designated at a time when bomers so offer, and then they were offered outside the Beis Mikdash or outside the Mishkan, still when bomers so offer. So let's say, for example, the 40 years in the Midbar. A person designates an animal as a korban at the time when the Mishkan is standing, when therefore it's also to bring korbanos anywhere else, and he offers it outside the Mishkan still during that time, during the 40 years. Then he's five cards. Share Oinshan Omer, and we know that because the pasuk continues in the pasukim over there. It says what his punishment is. The Al Pesach Oyel Moed Lo Hevi'en. Remember, he did not bring it to the front of the Oyel Moed, therefore he gets Karet. That's what we just read. So Oinash Shemaynu Azhar. Now that's the first aspect. Oinash Shemaynu. So that tells us that a person does that, he's Chayav Karet. Where does the Torah say that a person is also to do it? We know a general rule: a person can't be punished unless there's a warning someplace in the Torah. Don't do it. The answer is Talmud Lomar Pentala Ole Secha. The reason is because the pasuk says in Parshas A, be careful that you lest you bring your olus anywhere else that you want. And that's the warning. The Chidr of Oven Amar Rav Yila. How does pen constitute a loisa there? Like Rav Oven says in the name of Rav Yila, the Amar of Oven Amar Rav Yila. Kol Makom Shenemri Shomer Pen Va'al Ein Ela Loisa there. Any place where the Torah introduces a mitzvah with the Shomer, be careful, or pen lest or al don't. Then it means the loisese, yes. So hishkama l'cha pentala olosecha amounts to a loisese, do not bring olos or any other korbanos anywhere else. Okay, so that's the first few psukim of that part in Parshas Achimai. Now with the next few psukim, v'aleim toimar, etc. V'kan v'eilach u'medava v'kodshim v'shekdishim v'shat hetra abomus v'ekrivim v'shat isra abomus. The next few psukim are talking about how about a person with mastish an animal when bomus on mutter. And then he offered it later on outside the Beis Mikdash when Bomer so offered. So imagine, for example, let's say a person towards the end of the 14 years when the Mishkan is in Gilgal, let's say, so a person is machdish an animal. At that point, if he were to go bring it that same day, good, the Mishkan hasn't been set up in Shiloh yet. He's allowed to bring it wherever he wants. Sure. But he waits a couple of days. Meanwhile, they set up the Mishkan in Shiloh. Okay. Now Bomer so offered. How do we know? We need to step up to him to tell us that he's chayav. Shenemar, and that's what we get. It's just because the pasuk says, "L'man asher yaviu b'nei Yisrael l'sukhayim asher hem zeichim," in order that b'nei Yisrael should bring their korbanos, which they are sacrificing. And what does it mean that they are sacrificing? It means sheitauti l'chokvar korbanos that up until now they would have been able to sacrifice wherever they want because this particular animal was designated as korban when bomer samuter. Now bomer samuter. And what happens? Al pnei asada, the pasuk continues that now he can't bring it on the surface of the field. Why that expression? Melamach kol azeveach b'bama b'shas itzra b'bamais, meaning that if a person brings a korban on a bama during a period when bama is the aser, when the Mishkan was in Shiloh, for example, then mala all of our kosev kilu azeveach al pnei asada. The pasuk treats it. The pasuk considers it as serious a thing as if he just sacrificed it, as if he just like murdered it out in the field. In other words, don't think that you're doing something in honor of Hashem. The fact is, it's not. Because right now, the fact that you're not doing it on the proper mizbeach, right? And the pasuk continues, they have yom Hashem. The pasuk continues, they should bring such korbanos to Hashem. Actually, by the way, Rabbeinu Hananel says it a little bit differently. Kilu zeveach lasva there. That the vote is that he has a different girsa in the Gemara apparently. That what it is the pasuk is saying, if a person brings korbanos like that, even korbanos that were designated when bomer samuter, but now he's offering it when bomer samuter, the Torah considers it as if he's literally sacrificing to the field. It's just like he's making the field where he's bringing it a gesture and sacrificing. As if like he's making that his personal avodah zarah, right? Okay. And the pasuk continues. So the pasuk continues there. Vium Lashem. This is that they should bring them to Hashem to the Mishkan, meaning zu mitzvah tesa. That constitutes a mitzvah tesa. Or mitzvah loisah seminai. And how do we know there's still a loisah involved?
Both morning, both azara.
No, well, you need a loisah in order to make him chayav malchus.
No.
Yeah. No, the fact that you have an esther, fine, you have an esther, but that a person doesn't do an esther, for example, okay, it means he's disobeying Hashem, but it's not necessarily punishable. It's a loisah that makes him punishable. Well, mitzvah loisah seminayim, where do we know there's a loisah involved? Tam alayim, because the next pasuk continues, well, yuz v'chor yudas v'chayim, the pasuk that was quoted before. They shouldn't be sacrificing their korbanos to the demon. Yochol Yehei Onush Karis. You would think, even in that case, a person is Chayav Karis, like in the previous case where he designated the korban when bomber saw Osir. No, Kamalai Machukas Oilam Kiya Zoyz Lahem. The pasuk continues, this should be an eternal law for them, meaning the Zoyz Lahem, Balai Acheres Lahem, only this one, only the first one, where only this, you only have the Esam Eloysa, but not Acheres, you don't have something else, you don't have Karis. Kares is only when the korban was designated and offered when bomber is offered.
So if you had to offer a whatever type of animal, you offered something else?
No. So what we mean is, in other words, if a person, for example, designated an animal for a korban when bomber is offered, and then by the time he got around to offering it bomber is offered, he does it outside the business. So he will be over on an S analysis. He will not be chayav kares. That's what we learn from the word zoyz. On the other hand, if he had designated it when Bomer saw Osir and offered it when Bomer saw Osir, then he'd be Chayav Karis. And obviously, if he designated it when Bomer saw Osir and now Bomer saw Osir, then of course, he can bring it wherever he wants, Bomer saw Osir, you know. Okay.
So when he designated when it was Osir...
When it was Musir. But when he designated when it was Osir and it's still Osir, then he's Chayav Karis.
Okay.
If he designated when they're Musir and now it's Osir, then he's over on an S and a Loisa.
But
now they're not.
And
he offers it outside the business, then he's chayev. Then he's chayev for an esta and a loisa, and maybe he's chayev malchus, but not kares.
Not kares.
Anyway, the point is that we need this pasuk lo yizbuchu oydas divchayim to teach us this whole concept, not to teach us anything about offering to avodah zarah where it's not kedarka for the avodah zarah. So how are you learning that? The answer is amar rava kari bei v'lo yizbuchu v'kari bei v'lo oyd. Given that you have, the expression in the pasuk is, v'loy yizbuchu oid, they should no longer sacrifice. Now the word oid over there, now one or the other of those things is extra in the pasuk. It could have said just v'loy yizbuchu l'asirim, they shouldn't sacrifice to the demons, or it could have said v'loy oid l'asirim, no more to the demons. Yizbuchu and oid, one of those words is extra. Therefore, kari bei, v'loy yizbuchu, kari bei v'loy oid. Therefore, effectively, we can split up the pasuk as if it said two things. They should not sacrifice, and they should no longer. So one of those things teaches us that you're not allowed to bring korbanos outside the business, like even if they were designated when bomer is mutter. And the other one teaches us that if a person offers a sacrifice to Merkulis or what have you, then he's chayav.
So which
we can learn both things.
Which?
Doesn't matter. The point is we can learn one from one and one from the other.
Okay.
So therefore, we have two different lives.
Most likely goes for Avodah Zarah, and Erd goes
for
outside of Beis Hamikdash.
Could be, but could you? Whatever. The point still remains that you have two lavim that you can use from those, that you can learn from those words. Mishnah says, Matzah Beroshim, we learned this, we quoted this on Amud Aleph. Matzah Beroshim Mois Ksuchai Kelim. If you find on top of an Avodah Zarah, you find money or clothes or utensils, Harel Mutarin, then they're Mutar. They're not considered Noi, they're not considered a decoration for the Avodah Zarah. On the other hand, Parchile Anovim, but if you find clusters of grapes, Ba'atoris Shoshibolim, or wreaths made out of stalks of grain, the Yenis of Shmonim Muslothis, or wine, or oil, or flour, it was quoted on Amarala. The Chol Dava Shakiyah to the Karabagam HaMizeach, or anything else similar to what's brought on the Mizeach, also then it's also considered. Okay, so the Gemara says, Minahani Mili. Where do we know this concept from, that there's a difference whether it's something that is Noi or not? Whether it's something that beautifies the Avodah Zarah or not. Omer of Chiba Yosef, Omer of Eshia. It's like this. Kosev Echad Omer, you have one pasuk that says, in Parashat Nitzavim, that Tiru, as she could say, Moshe is warning the Jewish people not to be seduced by Avodah Zarah. So he tells them, you pass through these various nations that surround us. That Tiru, as she could say, and that Gilulayim, you saw their disgusting things and their Gilulayim is more Golo, like dung. Their nickname, the disgusting name for Avodah Zarah, right? Eight for Eben, you saw the stone, the wood and the stone. Kesef v'zahav asher imah. On the face of it, it means the wooden statue, but that, the Gemara is taking a little bit differently. Eight for Eben, kesef v'zahav asher imah. The wood, the stone, the silver, and the gold that is on it. So that implies that all four of those things are considered noy. They're all considered shikutim. They're all considered disgusting. Therefore, in other words, if you had, let's say, wood on an Avodah Zarah, never mind what the Avodah Zarah is, never mind what the statue itself is made out of. That we're talking about, if you were to find a wooden thing on top of a statue, let's say, or a stone thing, it would be also b'hanah. Because if you could say it would be something disgusting that you have to stay away from. On the other hand, the cost of Echad, remember, you have another pasuk earlier in Chumash Devarim,
in Parshas Esav, where it says, "Lesachmet kesef v'zahav aleihem," don't desire the gold and the silver on them and take them for yourself, implying only gold and silver. So what is it? Is wood or stone? Is it wood and stone and gold and silver are all also, or is it only gold and silver? How do you reconcile this? Imahem dumya da'aleihem. It means that you have to take the pasuk that mentions imahem, that's with them, which is the first pasuk, and it has to be, in order for it to be also, it has to be similar to aleihem from the second pasuk.
Let's say wood plated with gold.
Hold on. Ma aleihem davar shel noy also shena shel noy mutter. Just as when something is on them, it's only some, and on them, what is, when the pasuk that, with the pasuk that mentions on them, the word aleihem mentions only kesef v'zahav, which are ornaments. They beautify the avodah zarah. Therefore, ma aleihem davar shel noy. Therefore, aleihem is specifically limited to things that are beautiful for them, like gold and silver ornaments. Therefore, she'ena shel noy she'oser is also she'ena shel noy muter. If it's not beautiful, the pasuk's not listing it. Therefore, apparently, it's not oser. Af imahem, the same thing. When we look at the first pasuk we quoted, the one from Nitzavim that mentions imahem with them, also means davar shel noy oser v'she'ena shel noy muter. Only if it's something that beautifies them, then it's oser, but not something that doesn't beautify them. We have two psukim, but that is where we get the concept of our Mishnah, that just because something is on top of the Avodah Zarah, if it's not something that beautifies the Avodah Zarah, it's not also Banah. So when the first pasuk mentions Eitra Evan, it means the dafka has to be when is wood or stone also, only if it's something that beautifies the Avodah Zarah. But if it's something like we said in our Mishnah, for example, if it's just dumped on top of the Avodah Zarah's head, that wouldn't answer. That wouldn't be also.
But it could be placed on the Avodah Zarah without necessarily beautifying it, and it could still be
that's what we're going to figure out. That's what, wait. Okay, so the question is,
I want to say that to beautify it, it seems like a subjective thing, and also, why would they put it there if it's not for noy? They're not going to be put it there as a zilzul for the Avodah Zarah.
First of all, it depends. You have Avodah Zarah like Pa'ur and Melchulis, where the normal way of worshipping them was zilzul, but the Gemara is going to give examples soon. The Gemara is going to give examples of things that we find that we can see is clearly not mishumnoi.
So it doesn't seem to refer to like the plating of wood.
No, so no, because
that'd be considered.
That would be a knife, probably. Yeah. Okay. So the question is, Ema aleihem dumya de'imahem. Maybe not. Maybe you should take the psukim the other way around. Maybe say that aleihem, the second pasuk, has to be similar to imahem, the first one. Therefore, ma imahem kol mashi imahem. Imahem with them means whatever it is, and it mentioned wood and stone, where wood and stone are not usually ornaments. Af aleihem kol shaleihem, maybe it means the first pasuk that mentions the second pasuk, rather, that mentions the silver and the gold, also means however they're there, whether they're noy or not. So how do we still get from that that only if it's noy? The answer is, you're arguing that it has to be that the imahem, the wood and the stone, has to be similar to the gold and silver that are aleihem, it has to be something ornamental.
Right.
But maybe the other way around. Maybe the point is imahem, anything you find in connection with Avodah Zarah is also, even if it's not ornamental. And then kesef v'zahav means if you find gold or silver over there, even, for example, you find gold or silver coins on top of an idol, we said in our Mishnah, it's mutter. Maybe not. Maybe it means just like wood and stone are not necessarily ornaments for Avodah Zarah. They could just be stamp pieces of wood that are lying around there, and the pasuk is implying they're also because they're next to the Avodah Zarah. Maybe silver and gold also.
What's the reason the pasuk is saying those things are in our hand, as opposed to it's not super viral, I mean,
well, that's what we're trying to figure out. In other words, the point is it has to be imahem, it has to be in proximity to the Avodah Zarah, but in other words, it has to be ornamenting it, it has to be beautifying it. So the answer is, imkem lo yemra aleihem. In that case, we didn't even need the pasuk. If you were going to argue it that way, then we wouldn't need the pasuk aleihem at all. The pasuk aleihem, which meant if you're going to argue that imahem means anything that you find in proximity to Avodah Zarah is also, whether it's noy or not, then we don't need the pasuk that mentions the gold and silver on them. Because obviously gold and silver are going to be ornamental, and the second pasuk anyway, and then the first pasuk rather, the one from Nitzavim anyway, mentions gold and silver also. So the second pasuk would be completely superfluous. The fact that we have it implies that, okay, it's coming to limit the scope of the first one to only things that are noy. That's what it is. I don't know what media it would be called, but whatever. Maybe it's called a pras. I don't know what it would be exactly, but whatever. The point is, that comes to limit the scope and say it's only Mishum Noi. Okay, so now that we have that background, let's figure out in our mission. The question is, Mois Davar Shel Noyu, isn't money considered something that would beautify the Avodah Zarah? And yet we said you found money on top of the Avodah Zarah. The answer is Amidvei Rav Yanai. They answered him, Yeshiva Rav Yanai, the Kistot Kosher Betololoi Betzavore. You're talking about, it's not you found the money on top of the Avodah Zarah, on top of its head, where you can argue it's meant to beautify it. You found, for example, a purse full of money hanging around the Avodah Zarah's neck. That's obviously not meant to beautify it. That's meant somebody had a purse full of money which they needed to store someplace, and they put it around the Avodah Zarah's neck or whatever. They didn't put it there, Mishum Zarah. Therefore, it's not considered Tekroivet, therefore it would be Mosher Yanai. And then not to crud, it's never mind to crud, that's not Java Shakara, but whatever, it's not Noy, and therefore it's not also. What about Sus Davashal Noy? What about clothing on top of the Avodah Zarah? Could be to beautify it? The answer is again, Amidreid Abyan, but Ksus Mukupelos and Munakas La'aroshay. We're talking about, let's say, you find clothes folded and placed on its head. Again, obviously that's not meant to beautify it. That's not meant somebody needed to put down a towel a minute, for example, and you put it over there. Yeah, exactly. What about Kli Davashal Noyu? What about, we said in the Mishnah, Kali? Okay. It could be to beautify it.
A necklace?
Yeah, whatever. Like the answer is, Omar HaPapa, Dishisale Mashkilta Adeshe. So the Papa says, yes, we're talking about, for example, let's say you have a basin or a trough overturned on top of its head. So it doesn't look like a hat or something. Dishisale means turned over on its head. Mashkilta is like a basin or a trough or something. So Rashi describes, it's not put in a way, it's not made in a shape or whatever, that can be like a hat. That's like a long, skinny trough. So it's not something that's meant to beautify the Avodah Zarah. It's obviously meant, if not degrading, it's at least meant to, at least it's not an honorable thing for the Avodah Zarah. Therefore, it doesn't become awesome. Okay. Amar of Asi Bachia, here's the general rule. Kosher lefnim min ha-kilkalin, anything that you find within the kilkalin, and I'll explain in a second what a kilkalin is, afilu mayim u'melacha, so even if it's only water or salt, becomes osavana, even though it's not something that's noy, it's not something that beautifies the Avodah Zarah, but because it's within the kilkalin, therefore it's also. Now what is kilkalin? Chutz l'kilkalin, as opposed to if it's outside the kilkalin, then it depends. Davar shal noy also, if it's something that beautifies the Avodah Zarah, then it's also. She'ena shal noy mutter, if it's not something that beautifies the Avodah Zarah, then it's mutter. So what is a kilkalin? So a kilkalin Rashi describes as a mechitza. They had a customary thing they would have in front of certain getchkas, or in front of many of them, is like you'd have like an inner chamber in which the Avodah Zarah statue itself actually stands, and they would have like a curtain in front of it, like for privacy, for respect or whatever. So whatever is within that curtain, it's interesting, the word kilkalin itself, so Rashi says is a kinui of kloyim. In the Mishkan, in the Bet Mikdash, we have the kloyim, we have the curtain surrounding the Mishkan. And therefore, it's over here, so it's here they have a similar concept of curtains, but as usual, we try to use a derogatory term for Avodah Zarah. So instead of kloyim, we call it kilkal, and not some kilkal, right, like something rude or whatever. As Shines, I'll point out that also there is actually a Greek word, kinkalin or something, that means actually that. It means like a partition or something, but again, the Chachamim took that actual word and turned it into kilkalin in order to make it derogatory. Sure. Anyway, the point is, if you have something within that mechitza, like in very close proximity to the Avodah Zarah, then we're saying, even if it's, for example, water or salt, which is, after all, something that is ka'in pnim, because water and salt were used in the offerings la'avdil in the Beis Hamikdash, therefore they will be also, because they're tekroivus. Now, it's not a question of noy anymore, it's a question of tekroivus. They were actually offered, it would be considered tekroivus. Well, that's how Rashi learns. Wait, we'll talk in a second what other Rishonim talk about. But if you find it chutz l'kilkalin, then it's not an issue of tikkurei. That's to them. The only question is it no? Is it beautiful? And water and salt, for example, are not beautifying it. So okay. So Tosfos learns somewhat differently. Tosfos learns, first of all, obviously, again, we have to be talking about it's not normal to worship the Avodah Zarah using water or salt, because obviously if it's the normal way, then they would be, then it would be also anyway. The point is, so Tosfos goes on to say something fairly similar to Rashi, that the vote is anything within the kilkalin, they're going to offer anything, whether it's noy or not, and therefore it's tekroivus. Whereas if it's outside the kilkalin, then if it's outside this curtain, then they don't put tekroivus over there. Then it's only a question of noy. Now you have the Rambam writes about this. He writes in a lashon similar to our Gemara that even if you find water or salt inside, it's still osur. But the Kesef Mishnah and other Mefoshim on the Rambam talk about on various grounds that apparently the Rambam does not learn that it's a matter of tekroivus. Because in particular, and a number of Mephoshim point out, yes, Rashi is saying that water and salt are offered in the Mishmetesh, but after all, they're never offered by themselves. You never brought salt on the Mizbeach by itself, it was used, the salt to come on. didn't bring water by itself. He brought it together with wine. So how can we be talking about over here water or salt being also a sikrovus? So therefore, you talk about the Kesef Mishnah that tries to explain it. He deals at some length with the Rambam. Maybe the Rambam will understand that anything that's within the Kilkulin automatically is considered noi. Even if it's something like that, it's not Tikrovis, but it's still Noi. And therefore, okay, so we have exceptions in our Mishnah for things that are placed there in a derogatory way, like clothing folded up on a head or whatever. But otherwise, we're going to assume that anything over there, for example, the clusters of grapes, for example, we said in the Mishnah that clusters of grapes are also. The Mishnah didn't clarify, do we mean the clusters of grapes are also on top of the Avodah Zarah's head? But I might understand, even if they're on top of the Avodah Zarah's head, they're still also, because they're still Dover Shekhar of the Gav Avodah Zarah. So something similar to what was offered in the Mishnah. We have the Kabbalah from our Rebbeim. When it comes to Pa'ur and Merkulis, there's no such thing as Kilkulin. There's no distinction. There's no difference between whether it's within the curtains or outside of it. Because these Avodah Zarahs are, so let's figure out, why not? L'mai, in what sense do we mean? Do you mean to say that even if you find something within the curtain, in front of Pa'ur or in front of Merkulis, you're going to say it's considered life that's outside the curtain, therefore it's not necessarily to Kurevus or Noi, therefore it'll be Mutter? How could that be? Hashta Pa'urim if I didn't come here. The fact is, you see, they do worship Pa'ur. They go to the bathroom in front of it. Why wouldn't they even offer it water or salt? Fine, water and salt are not very important presents, but neither is going to the bathroom in front of it, and they do that. No, but nevertheless, the point is, you can't argue that it's a matter of what they would or wouldn't bring us to Kroivus. They wouldn't consider it, they'd consider it beneath the Avodah Zarah's dignity to bring it water or salt. If they treat it with such as a lack of dignity, yeah, that's it. Ella, no, what it means is the other way around. It means the other way around. When it comes to Pa'ur and Merkulis, even what you find outside the curtain, outside the Kilkulin, is the equivalent of something that's inside it. Because since the whole way of worshipping these Avodah Zarahs is using Bizoyan, and the whole purpose of the Kilkulin is for respect for Avodah Zarah, therefore the curtain doesn't count for anything. It's not considered that they put up the curtain for respect and to divide off the Avodah Zarah's territory from outside it. No, we say whether it's within or without it, or outside the curtain, it's still off.
So any Avodah Zarah Getchka that's worshipped by...
By derogatory means,
like urination or anything like that, then it doesn't matter whether or not there is a curtain.
Yeah, that's the thing. So even if you find something outside the curtain, it'll still be considered no, you're Chakroi, that's right. The case may be in the offer.
Do you mind speaking to Sashi? I feel a chutzpah kepnim dami.
Umitzar, so therefore it becomes also. Shari kol avodasidev bizoyim, because the whole way of worshipping these avodah zarahs is a derogatory way.
Right.
The kilkulin habit tnius, the whole purpose of a kilkulin, of a curtain, is for tnius. Ula kovin, it's for kovin, for avodah zarah. Here kovin is not shayach, because they don't treat the avodah zarah itself as kovin. Tilkulin, shayach ibe, so a kilkulin is not relevant to these avodah zarahs, well, they max it here, and they don't come to that. It's as if there was no curtain, exactly right. Mishnah says, Avodis kechavim shayla gina emercha. If you have an Avodah Zarah that has, there belongs to it a garden or bathhouse. So we discussed the bathhouse in the previous parak in connection with the story of Rav Gamliel over there. But then in Mehen Shaloi b'Toiva, you're allowed to have Hana from this garden or from this bathhouse without Toiva, and we'll explain in a second what Toiva is. Then in Mehen b'Toiva, but you're not allowed to have Hana from it with Toiva. So
what he did, actually.
Hold on. Well, we said over there that Rav Gamliel did it without Tova, but we said Rav Gamliel without Tova is the equivalent of anybody else's search. Because in his kosher, right. He was talking about ordinary people. So what is Tova? The earlier Rashi, in that previous story over there, Rashi explained over there, and Tosfos defended that that's the right explanation, is that Tova means thanking them, feeling good to them for the fact that you're providing this valuable thing, you're providing this melchus, you're providing this gin or whatever. Here Rashi learns differently. That it means you're not allowed. It means you're not allowed to pay them for it.
Why should you learn differently? Tovos should be tova.
Okay, so
here and over there.
Yeah. Well, okay. Sometimes Rashi does that. Sometimes Rashi changes. First of all, Rashi could change his mind.
Why?
Second,
it could change his mind. So he has to change it over there.
Not necessarily. Sometimes he has different. Sometimes you find in Rashi you find different versions of his commentary.
Okay.
Different. Yeah. But anyway, so actually, okay, Tosfos over there, in fact, has a bunch of questions on the explanation over here that means the schar, for one thing, it should use the expression the schar. Why use the word b'toiva? And a number of other questions. So what do you mean? So what do you mean? We learned back in the first pedex that in certain cases you are allowed to give. You have an opinion. We're having a sugya in the first pedex about that. Maybe you are allowed to give it in Hana. And later on in our Gemara over here, we're going to talk about if there's a partnership between the Avodah Zarah and something else that you're allowed. So why would that make a difference? The Ram talks about an interesting idea. The Ram says that betova over here, it does mean schar, like Rashi says over here. However, it doesn't mean a full schar. You could have, there's normally, when you go to a bathhouse, for example, there's a certain amount of expenses that go into running a bathhouse, and they charge a certain fee accordingly. Betova would mean you're not paying that full fee, but you're paying less than that. So therefore, you can argue it's not really giving them hana per se, and he compares it to a case that we learned back in the Dorian. But that you're not covering all their expenses, that's the thing. And
then you don't cover part of
the Ran. The Ran explains that, for example, we had a concept way back in the Dorim, when we learned the in the Dorim. We had a case over there, we had various cases over there where one person is mudr hanah from another, where one person has made a neder not to have hanah from the other. And we say, nevertheless, they are allowed to do certain kinds of business. One of them is, for example, he's allowed to, you can sell him something that's cheaper, you can buy from him whatever, something cheaper than the normal rate, because that's not considered hanah, because
it's not.
It doesn't matter. The Ran compares it and says, by the same logic over here, we're saying that if you're paying them less than normal amount, so that's the point over here. So our Mishnah is saying you're not allowed to do betova, meaning even for the lesser amount. To pay them the full amount, that is no chiddush, and that's close to the point. That's right. But even betova, you're paying even less than
that.
That's the Ran. Even with less, yeah. On the other hand, hoya shalav shalach, but less, and therefore the Mishnah continues hoya shalav shalachayim. If the bathhouse or the garden or whatever was owned jointly by Avodah Zarah and some other concern, then nen in ben betova, ben betova or ben shalav betova, then you're allowed to have a nol from them betova. So then again, according to the Ran,
why should you?
So that's the verse. So the Ram says, because because you're not really giving them hana again, because you're not really covering their expenses, so therefore, nevertheless, if it all goes to them, fine. If you're going to be giving the whole hana to them, then still the hana are going to have to it. They're not going to go so far as to after it when it's in partnership and it's not even covering their rent, it's not even covering their expenses. That can't be considered as giving them hana that should be also.
Hana has to be a certain threshold.
A certain threshold, yeah. Avodas kechavim shall oyv kechavim asur miyad, continues the Mishnah, and Avodah Zarah that belongs to a goy is also right away as soon as he makes it. We don't know it. It's going to be a machlokas in the Gemara. Wait.
It was a machlokas.
We discussed it briefly on Amar Aleph. In our Gemara, we're going to deal with it in more detail. V'shal Yisrael, ein asur, achet yavid, of Jews, Avodah Zarah only becomes also once it's worship. We're going to see in the Gemara. That's only the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. We have Rabbi Shmuel against it. That's one reason, actually. Why Taka should be saying that Rabbi Akiva is going to be going Sukkim and all, but we have one logical reason that Mephora should say. Why should it be a Jew's Avodah Zarah is only also after he worships it? Because, as the Ritva says, it's because a Jew is less likely to be drawn into Avodah Zarah in the first place. A Yid has a Yetzirah, sure, but normally, especially after the time of the Anshei Knesset.
How many examples in the story just said?
That's during the time when they had a powerful Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. But even then, you could argue they're still maybe less susceptible to it than the Goyim. Once they do, it's true, it's harder for them to break away from it. Yeah, they cling to it, as we learned in the first paragraph, but it's harder for them to get into it in the first place. And therefore, there's a logical reason, that's one logical reason that Ritva says, to say why Rabbi Akiva might say that it only comes also when they actually worship it. Because up until then, yeah, he may change it.
Can you do tshuva from Avodah Zarah?
You can do tshuva from anything. Whether your tshuva is actually going to take, whether you're likely to relapse. We talked in the first paragraph, not necessarily, but that's fine. But I mean, I mentioned then that what the Rambam says, that on the one hand, the Rambam writes that a min does tshuva, we don't accept him in tshuva. On the other hand, elsewhere he says in Hilchos tshuva that anybody can do tshuva, even the worst Rasha. So they asked the Chachmei Luno, I think it was, asked the Rambam about the Stira, and the Rambam says, no Stira. We can't accept him because we don't know what's in his heart. He might just be putting on an act. Hashem knows the truth, so of course he can accept him.
So the conclusion is that Hashem always accepts a real tshuva?
Yeah. Okay.
And that we know from what?
We know that Hashem accepts any kind of tshuva. We know from many psukim, we know from many gemaras. Alright, I'm going to buy it. What is betova? It means betova kumrin. It means tova that's given to the priest. Again, either it means thanks to them, it means either thanks to them or payment to them, as the case may be. Shaloi betova kumrin. Not tova means there's no tova to the kumrin.
That's
As opposed to, what does it mean? You would be allowed toiva to other people who worship it. Meaning, in other words, for example, again, if we take Rashi's explanation over here, that it means payment, for example, or we take the Rambam's explanation, that it means a partial payment, let's say, or whatever, it means you would not be allowed to make that payment directly to the priest of the Avodah Zarah, but you would be allowed to make such a payment to other people who worship this Avodah Zarah, who are running the thing. That we don't worry about so much. We're giving them that hana. Yeah.
Why would you make a difference?
Because the difference is one is going directly, and the other indirectly. But still, now that's one version. So then there are those who learn Abaya's statement as referring to the second part of the Mishnah, where the second part of the Mishnah containing Hoya Shalava Shalachaydim, if the bathhouse or whatever belongs to jointly to Avodah Zarah and some other business, then we said you're allowed to patronize it whether it was Tova or not. And that, according to the second lashon, Amar Abaye, b'tova b'tova zachedim shaloi b'tova skumrin. That b'tova would mean you're allowed to be paying, for example, the achedim, the other party that runs the non of a desara that jointly owns it. Shaloi b'tova, you would not be allowed to do tova shaloi b'tova skumrin. You're not allowed to be thanking or paying or whatever the priest.
So you have to make sure that the tova that you do doesn't go to the kaimurim. Is that what we?
That would, according to the yes. So Manda Masniya Sefer, whoever learns, which the Manda Omer who says that Abaya's statement refers to the Sefer, Kol Shekein HaReisha, he will say how much more so in the Reisha, the whole thing belongs to Avodah Zarah, therefore you're not allowed to pay, period, because it's all going to be going to Avodah Zarah. So Manda Masniya Reisha, where is the opinion that says it refers to the Reisha, he would say in the Sefer Umu Mekel, Avala Sefer, Timin Deika, Chedim Bahada, no, according to, if we understand Abaya's statement as referring only to the Reisha, that you're not allowed to pay the priest, then it would mean in the sefer where the thing is owned jointly by the priest and another party, kibin de'ika achedim ba'adah, since there are other people involved, there's another business or whatever involved, afila b'tovas kumin nami shatudami, according to that way of looking at it, you would even be allowed to pay the priest. Because the fact of the matter is, not all the money is going to be going to them, it's some of it is going to be going to this other business.
So one opinion says
that you're not allowed to, let's say, for example, we're talking about b'tovas means paying. So the first opinion would say you're not allowed to pay if the thing only belongs to Avodah Zarah, but you would be allowed to pay if it belongs jointly to Avodah Zarah and others, and you don't even have to worry who's taking the payment, whether it's the priest or the others. According to the second opinion, either way, you're not allowed to, or at least you have to make sure the payment doesn't go to the priest. If there's achayrim involved, you can give it to the achayrim,
and I'll make sure
then you can't patronize it. The Rambam paskins like the first lashon. That you can in the second case where it's owned jointly. Because you have a first lashon, so he's entitled to follow it. So, again, given that the whole thing is only Xer Dirabara. The Raivad, I think, not the Raivad anyway, in Shulchan Aruch, it paskins like the second opinion. That even if it's owned jointly, then you still have to make sure the payment doesn't go to the priest. It can go to other Oizim, it can go to other people who worship it, but not to the priest.
A few sessions ago about buying a church. And you said that we will leave it. It seems according to, under the light of this, Mishnah Brisa, what would you say?
Well, first of all,
church is owned only by Qumran, you cannot.
Then maybe you can't. But if it's owned by, for example, a corporation or whatever, where you have, then you'd have more reason to allow it, yeah. So you pay the non-Qumran, yeah. I should mention also that Amma mentions another detail that you have. He says you have Rishonim who learn that the whole issue over here only applies if the Ginner or the Merchot is actually in the courtyard of the Beis Avodah Zarah itself. But if it's somewhere else in the city and if it belongs to them, then there's more reason to be lenient. And then Amma says you can be Tzomech Hanatim Kesim. So that may factor into that.
In other words, if they have lots where they do not have Getchkes and Shoshim and all that,
but they still own them, then that might be more reason. That might be more reason to be made. Yeah.
So if you're allowed to go in for Tova Sana, then Maris Ayin is not a problem.
Then what?
Maris Ayin, that people are going to think you go. So again, you're not going into the actual base of a disorder. You're just going into something that's owned by it. So then you have a question. Yeah, I mean, you have a question before if you have an idol or a cross or whatever hanging over there, but then you have a mule's point over there. Maybe they're only putting it up for decoration. Okay, then we said in the Mishnah, Verdes Chachavim Shal Ovid Chachav Masur Miyab, we said a Goyiz of a Zorah becomes also as soon as he makes it. Wait. Masnissin Mani Rabakiva. Who does our Mishnah go like? It goes like Rabakiva. The Tanya has the learner of Braisa. When the Pasuk says, Abed to Abdunas Kalamakoimes Asha Abdu Shaman Goyim, when it says you should utterly destroy all the places where the Goyim worship, what does it mean, the places? We established before, you don't have to destroy the places, because we established before in the previous Pedic, you don't have to destroy the mountains and the hills and whatever where they worship. So what does it mean? The Pasuk is actually referring to utensils that were used to worship Avodah Zarah.
Not
houses, in other words, yes. But actually, so the Ritva makes a point that kalim over here means. For example, we're going to talk later on in the Gemara. We're going to mention this that we mentioned in the previous Perek, that, for example, mountains and hills do not become osir. That's only if they're left in their natural state. But for example, if a goy were to take a mountain and start digging in it holes, for example, in honor of Avodah Zarah, then it would become osur. Then it would become osur, because then there's tzitzis yadayadim in it. So therefore, when we say over here kalim, so Rabbi Akiva can include anything that has tzitzis yadayadim. And in fact, the Sudei Esh adds a detail like this. If he, for example, digs water pits in it, the water pits themselves effectively are kalim. So in that sense, in other words, to say that Makomus refers to kalim is not so far-fetched. But that's what it means. You know, kalim means anything that goy, that's something that was somehow changed by human hands. Yeah.
Does that make sense that a goy, like digging these mountains, he can answer the whole world?
No, he doesn't answer the whole world. He answers that particular mountain. Or maybe not even the whole mountain necessarily. Maybe just that. No, that's part of it, yeah. Okay. So, Yoho Asom Voy Gomrum. So now...
They have, like, in the Western states, they have carved... statues of American presidents.
Yeah, those were not made for Avodah Zarah. Those were made for decoration.
Not made for
no.
So they would not constitute
that. That has
no
prohibition. Yeah. A Yid might not be allowed to make such things. You have other Isurim in the Aseret HaDibros. Like Tassel of Chopes of Chol Tmuna. We discussed before in the previous Perek about making references of Avodah Zarah. Yeah. So, continues Rabbi Akiva, Yoho Asom Voy Gomrum, so you would think maybe what if a goy makes such a keli, but he didn't actually finish it yet, or Gomrum Voy Hevium, or he finished it, but he didn't yet bring it to Avodah Zarah, or even Hevium Voy Nishtam Shabahen, or he brought it to Avodah Zarah, but they didn't actually start using it yet, Yoho Yehu Asurim, you would think such kelim are still awesome. No, Tamad Lai Masha, Avdu Shama Goyim, therefore the Pasuk says that the goyim worship there, meaning She'en Asur that Avshi Avdu, may only become awesome when they're... No, this is Rabbi Akiva. Mikan Omru. Well, no, you're right. This is Rabbi Shmuel. You're right. Sorry. This is Rabbi Shmuel. Mikan Omru. Based on this, the Chachamim said, "Avodis Chacham shall over Chacham in Asura Adchi Avid." A goy's Avodah Zarah only becomes also when he worships it. Says Rabbi Shmuel. V'shal Yisrael Asura Miyad. A Jew's Avodah Zarah becomes also as soon as he makes it. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Right. That's Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva in Chiluf Advarim. Rabbi Akiva says it's the other way around. Why? For reasons that the Gemara will discuss soon. A goy's Avodah Zarah is also as soon as he finishes making it, as we said in our Mishnah, because Yisrael actually of it, a Jew's Avodah Zarah only becomes also when it's worshipped. The halacha is like Rabbi Akiva against Rabbi Shmuel, as usual, but where Rabbi Akiva is getting it from, that we have to figure out. So, Omer Ma'ar, the Kev Mishin Ishtam Shaban, Avodah Zarah, Makos and Adabra. So now, let's analyze this right. So we said that the Pasuk, when it mentions Hamakomis, is referring to the Kalim that they use for Avodah Zarah. So what do you mean? Okay, what do you mean? Hamakomis, because the Pasuk is places. How do you get that? I mean, kalim. The answer is, Makomis literally means places, like mountains and hills and whatnot.
Right.
And we know those aren't osur. So, Makomis, given that it can't be referring to Makomis, the Loi Mitzvah, because after all, a Makom does not become osur. We said in the previous Perek, their gods are on the mountains, but the mountains themselves are not considered their gods and don't become osur. Therefore, Tsneo Inyan, Lakalim. Therefore, you have to explain that the Pasuk is actually referring to kalim. And again, you have the Ritva's logic that we mean kalim over here. We mean even, for example, ground that was dug up or whatever in honor of Avodah Zarah.
Since it can't be the mountains themselves,
that's the necessity of it. Okay, fine. Now, Rabbi Shmuel continuing, Mikan Omra v'Deschav Shal Ovid. Because, again, Makomis includes places that they dug up or whatever. It means that you should know, even though Makomis are not generally also, but they're capable of making them into kalim and making them also. Okay. So the question is, okay, so now continues the Braisa. Mikan Omru Avodah Kacham Shal Ot Kacham En Asura El Adjikir Ovid. So continues Rabbi Shmuel. So we see from this, therefore, that an Avodah Zarah of a Goy only becomes also when it's worshipped. V'shei Yisrael Miyad, and a Jew's Avodah Zarah becomes also immediately. So what do you mean? Where are we getting up? How are we suddenly switching to Avodah Zarah? V'hav HaKelim Okim Nalah. We just established that Makomis refers to the Kelim. How are you using this to talk about the status of the actual Avodah Zarah itself?
That's the question.
That's the question in Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel is saying that we learn from Hamad Kalimah, so fine, that takes care of the Kalim. You can argue the Kalim only become also when they're used for worship. Fine, but how do we know the Avodah Zarah itself, the actual statue itself, where is Rabbi Shmuel getting that it only becomes also when it's worship? The answer is Omakra, because the Pasuk continues, the Pasuk says Rabbi Shmuel, because the Pasuk says, Asher atem yoshim oisam esalakehem. The Pasuk continues that you have to go and destroy all the Mekoimus, which again we said the Kalim, in all the where the goyim who you are going to dispossess worship their gods. Therefore, makish alakeim, makalim. Therefore, in other words, we have a hekish between the gods and the kalim. Ma kalim adshiyal, just like the kalim only become also when they're worshipped, as when they're used to worship, as we just established. Apalakeim, nami adshiyal, so the same thing. Says Yishmael, the same thing. The pasuk is implying that the alakeim, the idols themselves, only become also when they're actually worshipped.
Between
the word hamakomos and the word elakehem, which are in the same pasuk. Rabbi Akiva delay makish. So you have to ask then. Rabbi Akiva doesn't agree with that hekish. So what does he do with that hekish? Amalach, he will answer you. It's not a real hekish. S hipsika inyan. The fact that you have the word S in the middle of the pasuk over there breaks it up. If you look in the pasuk, in Torah or Asholim on the side over here, Aleph. Abid to Abdin as Kama Koyim as Asher Avdu Shama Goyim. You have to completely destroy all the places where over there the Goyim, Asher Atem Yoshimaisem, which you are going to dispossess them, where they worship Es Elekehem, their God. There, the rest of it we don't need to quote right now. The point is, Rabbi Akiva points out, you have an S over there between Hama Koyim and Elekehem. The S, Rabbi Akiva regularly doubts S's.
It's a limiting S.
That means it breaks it up. It means that the Mekoyimis have one rule. The Mekoimus, meaning the Kalim, have one rule. The Elekeim have a different rule. Okay. So now let's continue with Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel, what's that? I'm Darshan, yes. The S is just, there is just the Lashon Apostolic. It's the Zivra Torah Kolashon Me'adam or whatever. Okay. Rabbi Shmuel. So now let's return to Rabbi Shmuel. Fine. So that tells us then that an Avodah Zarah belonging to a goy, we establish now, he has his way of learning now, that it only becomes also when it's worship. We have to ask, Yisrael, that's sort of Miyad Manole. Fine. Where is he getting the concept that a Yid Avodah Zarah becomes also right away?
Yeah.
That we don't have from this father.
Well, if you can say maybe for a goy, it doesn't, therefore for a Jew, it doesn't.
Ah, so the answer is Svara. It's a Svara. Mid of Gacham Adjate Ovid, given that a goy only becomes worship when it's worship,
so
Yisrael, Asura Miyad, a Yid Zavad Azara must be more stringent, therefore it should become also right away. However, the Gemara says why? Ema di Yisrael klal klaloi, maybe a Yisrael Zavad Azara never becomes author, because after all, we can argue maybe a Yid is not really completely into Avad Azara in a certain sense. Wait, the Gemara says no. Never mind. Hashtag Gniza boy, Suri Le Mitzra. Think of it. A Yid Zavad Zara at least needs Gniza. It needs to be hidden away. Now, it's interesting the word Gniza, by the way, because a little further down on the Amud, Rashi learns the word Gniza means literally in the sense that we usually use it. It doesn't necessarily have to be destroyed. It just has to be hidden away, complete. It has to be buried away, complete. Some other Mephoshim.
And if you don't bury it away, then what?
Then it's also about no. But the point is, In other words, the point is, according to that way of looking at it, what the Gemara would mean is, Yid Zavad Zara, it's true, Rabbi Shmuel is saying, does not necessarily need to be destroyed, like a Goy Zavad Zara word, but it needs to be hidden away, because it's also Ba'anah.
Yeah, but it's still Avad Zara.
It's still Avad Zara, fine. That's the logic. Given that you see a Yid Zavad Zara needs Gneza, it's Suri Le Mitzra. How could you think it's not also? Obviously, it has to be other, well, also, otherwise it wouldn't require Gneza. So again, Rashi is learning over here that Gneza means literally it just has to be hidden away. Other Mephoshim disagree with Rashi on that, and they say that no, Gneza can also mean, it means in a looser sense, it means to destroy it.
Right.
The point is, it's also about no, so obviously, therefore, it has to be also. But a Yid made, or a Yid worshipped, or whatever, yeah.
And if he can't just...
You can't be miraculous. He can destroy it, but that's the point. Even destroying it, the pieces are still going to be off the banner. Okay.
So therefore,
the Svara holds that a Yid Zavad Zara is also banner. We know that. So therefore, it's logical. You can't possibly say that it's less stringent than a Goy, that it shouldn't be off the banner at all. It has to become...
At least it has to be as stringent.
Fine. So the question is, the aim of Kid over to Chavim. Fine. Where does Rabbi Shmuel get that it should be more stringent in the sense that it becomes also as soon as it's made? At least it should be like a Goy Zavad Zara, only when it's first worshipped. Where is he getting that as soon as a Yid makes it, it becomes also?
Just now,
We have a logic to say that it should be osur at all. Otherwise, we would think that maybe it never becomes osur. But where do we get that it should become osur at an earlier stage than a goes? That it should become osur as soon as he makes it, whereas a goes would only be when he worships it. The answer is omakzo, because the pasuk says in connection with the ego, that chataschem asher asitim at the ego, your sinful thing, Moshe says to the Jewish people, that you made, the ego, implying, why is he calling it the sinful thing and calling it asitim that you made? Mish'as asiya komlei b'chet. As soon as he makes it, he's already guilty of a chet. And therefore, Rabbi Shmuel can say on that basis, as soon as he makes it, then it's awesome. So the question is, how do you know it means the thing itself is also? Maybe it means, okay, the person has done an Abeira at that point. He was over on the Sassel Chopesel. He made it. No. It means making it. But, so maybe it means, fine, as soon as he makes a statue that he's also to make, he's over on a Loisense. Who says it means it's Surilimim? So maybe it's not yet also Bahana, the actual statue. No, the answer is Omar Kral, because you have a different passage that says, cursed, this is one of the curses they did on how grism and how evil. Cursed is a person who makes a pestle or a masecha, different types of statues, implying, again, the shatatia komle b'ara. As soon as he makes it, he's ara, he's cursed. Again, no, obviously we mean the shema, but it's ara. Still the question.
That's what I asked you before.
A yid is not allowed to make statues of people. We established that in the previous parak, even if they're not made l'shem of a dezara.
Right.
And we talked about that he may not even be able to make two-dimensional images. It might be questionable.
Okay.
But here we're talking about specifically making it for a dezara. But he hasn't yet worshipped it.
Our agreement was
pesel for a dezara. So again, the question is, Emahani Mila will make him gabra bar, or still, maybe it means, okay, the person is now under a curse. It's not just that he was over on a loisese, he's actually subject to a curse. It's surely mitzvah. Maybe it's still the actual object itself has not become also bahana yet. Where is Rabbi Shmuel getting that it is? The answer is, Toyav Hashem Ksiv. That same pasuk continues that when it says that Orer Eish Shiyat and Metzatel Masecha, it continues with the expression, Toyav Hashem, something that Hashem is disgusted by. Implying that it's also bahana. Toyeva usually means something that's completely off limits. Okay, but Rabbi Akiva, what would Rabbi Akiva answer to that? He would say, because he says it only becomes also when it's worship, he would say, okay, Dava maybe the Toyeva. It means not yet a Toyeva, it's something that can lead to Toyeva as soon as it's worship. No, but then it doesn't say Toyeva here, it says Toyeva Hashem. Toyeva Hashem, it will be. Once it's worship, it'll be Toyeva Hashem.
Yeah, it seems very hard to...
Okay, wait. Rabbi Akiva, like, fine, that takes care of Rabbi Shmuel. Now let's work on Rabbi Akiva. How does Rabbi Akiva know that a goyz of a dezara becomes also as soon as he makes it? The answer is Oma Ula, Oma Kra, because they have a different pasuk that says Psile Elekehem Tishukun Ba'ish. A pasuk says the statues of their gods you should burn in fire. And the word Psile is related to the word Pesel, which means to carve out, like Psalacha by the Luchos. So therefore, Misha Postboy Nase Elekah. The fact that the pasuk uses the word Psile Elekehem means as soon as he carves it, it becomes an Elekah, it becomes a god, and becomes also Bana. Even before it's, well, no, as soon as he finishes, obviously. As soon as it becomes Pasal, as soon as he completely shapes it. As soon as he shapes it into whatever he wants to shape it. He can be a muscle, fine.
Yeah.
The Edoch, what does Rabbi Shmuel do with that pasuk? The answer is, Meboilo the Chidatani Rabbi Yosef. He uses that pasuk, Sile Elekehem, to teach us what Rabbi Yosef says in a Braisa. The Tani Rabbi Yosef, Minayim lo Ovid Kehav, the Posel Elekehem. Where in general do we get the whole concept that a goy can be Mavatal of a Dezara? We've been talking about, and we're going to talk later on, about a goy being it. We have to find where is the source that a goy is able to be Mavatal of a Dezara. We learn it from this pasuk. Shenema, Sile Elekehem, Tishifun Ba'esh, because the word Sile can have a double meaning. It can mean to carve, like Psalacha. It can also mean to make puzzle. So therefore, we can understand, Psile Elekehem, they have the ability to make their gods puzzle by being Mavakal then. So therefore, Rabbi Shmuel would say, that's what we learn from the word Psile Elekehem. Not that as soon as he carves it, as soon as he finishes carving it, it becomes a guest stand.
Psile Elekehem.
That's Psile can also... Psile
is not...
Psile is Meloshin... It can also be Meloshin... It can also be Meloshin Post, though. Yes, it can. It's the same Shurish.
It's the same shirish.
So that's good enough.
It is.
Okay. Loshen Torah Lachod, Loshen Chachamim Lachod. Whatever it is, the point is he has a way of it. Hey, the Edoch. What would Rabbi Akiva answer to that? He says, Nachgalim to Shmuel. I don't need that pasuk Tfilei Elekehem to teach that. I can learn that from Edoch means the other one. Now we're back to Rabbi Akiva.
Yeah.
So where does Rabbi Akiva get that? He also has to have a source that a goy can be mivatal of a dezara. The answer is Nafgalei, he doesn't need that pasuk. Nafgalei midi Shmuel. He'll rather learn it from Shmuel's limud. The Shmuel Rami, Because Shmuel point, and obviously, as usual, we don't mean that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel know what Shmuel is going to say. He lives over 100 years after them. It means that the same drasha that later on was recorded in the name of Shmuel, they knew it already in their times. It was already part of Torah Shema Peh in their time. Anyway, the Shmuel Rami, Shmuel pointed out a contradiction between Stukim, which to reconcile will have the answer. The Pasuk says in Parshas Vaskanan, in Parshas Esav rather, you should not desire the gold and silver on them, which implies, in other words, that the implication is that as soon as you desire it, you're already over. But then the Pasuk continues, and you should take it for yourself. Or no, the question rather is that no, the question rather is like this. On the face of it, in context of the pasuk, you would understand that the lawyer refers to both. Don't desire the gold and silver, and don't take it. You have many tzukim that are phrased in such ways. We have a word, a particle at the beginning of the pasuk that's meant to go to both. On the face of it, means the loyal, right. On the other hand, the fact is the pasuk could have phrased it that way, and it didn't. Implying v'lakach d'lacha effectively then can be darshan as saying you can take it for yourself. So therefore, so how do we reconcile it? Are you not allowed to even desire it, or are you allowed to take it? Okay, so how do we reconcile it? If a guy, for example, carves an Avodah Zarah, or, for example, let's say he sanded down the Avodah Zarah, like we talked about in the previous paragraph, then you're not allowed to even desire what he the Avodah Zarah, or what he sanded off it, because he wasn't mivatel it. On the other hand, possibly may elika, but if he possibly it from being a god, in other words, for example, he sanded it down, looked so close, if he wanted the sawdust or whatever, as we said before, then the lakasa lacha, then you're allowed to take it for yourself. Possibly le elika versus may elika. Possibly, again, can mean he carved it. But again, we talked about before, a person carves an idol or a tree or what have you, it can mean two purposes. He can be doing it to beautify the idol, or he can be doing it because he wants the chips that he's carving off it. In one case, he's not mivatelit, in the other case, he is. So if he's doing it not to be mivatelit, that's the first half of the process. Lois sachma, go to your desire, that gold and silver that's on them, it's also bahana. As opposed to, if possibly may aleka, but if he carves it, if psile alekeim, if he carves it in a way that he wants the sawdust, or he wants pieces of it, then he's mivatelit, then velakasalacha, then you can take it. So Rabbi Akiva can learn from that. He doesn't need Rabbi Shmuel's process, therefore he still has... The point is, no, that, therefore, so Rabbi Akiva will say, that is, so therefore, from that word, Sile Elekehem, that you, Rabbi Shmuel, want to learn from that a goy is able to move off of the Avodah Zarah, I'll learn it rather from Lysachmed Kesef Zahav Aleihem, the second half of that same pasuk. The first half, Sile Elekehem, I can use it to mean that once he's poisel, once he carves the Avodah Zarah and completes it, immediately then it becomes also Bahana. Okay. Fine. So that takes care of how we know Rabbi Akiva says that a goy of a desire becomes also as soon as he makes it. Where is Rabbi Akiva learning the concept, on the other hand, that a yid of a desire only becomes also when it's worshipped? The answer is Amr of Yehuda. No, it's like it would be the other way around. We should argue that a yid of a desire should be more stringent. Yeah. The answer is, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Krav is some bastos. This pasuk that we quoted before, Oro Ha'isha Shayata Pesol Masecha, it continues, the some bastos, and he places it in secret. Those words teach us, says Rav Akiva, Ad Shayata L'Dvarim Shavah Seger. When does it become also? When does it become Tayavat Hashem? When he does secret rites there. Because why is he doing it in secret? He doesn't want Basin to hear about it, because then they'll execute him. So therefore, of necessity, he worships it in secret. So therefore, as soon as the Somba Sasa, as soon as he starts doing right rituals, there in secret, only then does it become Toyavat Hashem. Only then does it become a thing disgusting to Hashem that becomes also Bahana.
Even if he's not afraid of Basin, there's a Busha also.
Is it for what?
He could have a Busha.
He could have a Busha of other people, whatever it is. The point is that he's going to do it in secret. So therefore, that's where Rabbi Akiva gets. The fact that the pasuk says the sum b'sof, there implies it's not as soon as he makes it, not like you, Rabbi Shmuel, are saying the Oro Isha he yaseh, that as soon as he makes it already. No, only when the sum b'sof, only when he worships it, which is done in secret. Okay. The Idach, what would Rabbi Shmuel do with that pasuk? The answer is that homeboy l'chid Rabbi Yitzchak. He would use that pasuk to teach us what Rabbi Yitzchak says. B'sof, yeah. He would use it to teach us what Rabbi Yitzchak said. The Amr Rabbi Yitzchak, Minayim Avad Eskechavim She'itzor She'tonu Gneza, how b'chlal do we know that Avodah Zarah of a Jew has to be hidden away? So again, Rashi says it means you don't even have to break it up or whatever. You just have to hide it away in the ground. It's also bana. Again, other mafarshim learn it means it still has to be destroyed, but then the destroyed pieces still have to be hidden away because they're still forever also bana, so that you can't even baffle them. How do we know that concept? Shenema, the samba salsa, because the pasuk says you should place it in secret. In other words, a yid zavar dezara, or isha sheyasa petzel ma'aseh. You can't be mabassel it. Therefore, it has to be the samba salsa. The only thing to do is put it in a concealed place. Yeah. Okay. The idach. What would Rabbi Akiva answer to that? He agrees with that din also. So where he, but he used the samba salsa for his din. So well, yeah. The answer is nafkele midr of chista amarav. He would learn it from a different thing that Rav Chista said in the name. That you have to conceal it, right? So he would learn it from what Rav Chista says in the name of Rav. The Amar of Chista Amar Rav, Minayim Lavar Chom Shai Yisrael Shatun Agniza, how do we know that a Yid Zavar Dezara has to be hidden away? Shinema, Lo Yisita Lacho Asher Kol Eis Eisam Nizbach. Because the Pasuk says, in Parashat Shoftim, you should not plant yourself an Asherah or any tree near the Mizbeach. So what's the comparison between Asherah and the Mizbeach? We learn from that. Ma Mizbeach, Ton Gniza. Just like the Mizbeach, when it becomes possible, the Mizbeach has to be hidden away. The stones of it actually, yeah, because the stones of it are also Bano, they were used for Hekdesh, and as we'll learn later on.
Why we never planted? I mean, where is it?
We'll talk on our days what happened. Well, it was destroyed at the time of the Churban, but the garden destroyed it. But we'll talk about later. We'll get to tomorrow, Vestish, and we'll talk about more to the point. What happened with the stones of the Mizbeach that were desecrated by the Yavanim? We're going to deal with that. So we'll get that. The point is, they're also Bana. The only thing you can do with them is be going as them. Asherah, Ton Gimizah. Therefore, we can learn from that. And Asherah also needs to be hidden away. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva can learn it that way. The Idach, what would Rabbi Shmuel answer to that? He would say, I use that pasuk for a different thing. I use that pasuk of the comparison of the Asherah to next to the Mizbeach for a different limud that Rabbi Shlokish says. The Amr Shlokish, Kalamamid Dayan Sha'ina Hogun, anybody who appoints a Dayan who's improper, who doesn't know the Deen, even though he has other good mitzvahs, let's say, Ki'ilun Etea Asherah B'Yisrael, as if he's planting an Asherah among the Jewish people. Because a no good Dayan, he's gonna end up judging wrongly, and therefore it's like as bad as an Asherah. And we know this, Shenema Shoytim V'Shoytim Chitim Lacha V'Hosha Recha, because the Pasuk starts off, Parshas Shoytim starts off, you should set up judges and officers for yourself and all your gates and all your cities, the Samach Le, Leisita Lacha Asherah Kalei. And a couple of scriptures later, it says, don't set up an Asherah. So we see the comparison that an improper Shoytim is like an Asherah. No. It's a halacha. It means that it's a halacha. But it's still, no. Amar Ravashi, Uvam Mekoyim Tamar Chachamim, and Ravashi adds, if in this place there are real, genuine Tamar Chacham available, and instead of appointing them, you appoint a Dayan, who's not Hogun, who's not proper, so now you're doing like a double bad thing. Not only are you appointing a no-good Dayan, but you're also overlooking, you're also ignoring the local Tamar Chachamim, who are more suitable to it. Kilim Nata, it's a Mizbeach. It's as if not only you're planting an Asherah, but as if you're literally planting it next to the Mizbeach. Shenema, Eitzel Mizbeach, because the positive thing is next to the Mizbeach. So Rabbi Shmuel is going to say, that's what I'm learning from that positive. So therefore, we see from that the severity, how austere it is, al-pi al-locha, to appoint an improper dayan, especially when there are capable Tamar Chachamim available. I don't have that pasuk available to learn me anything, to teach me anything about hiding away Asher. It's like you hide away.
How do we appoint now, or dayan? I mean,
you have to check out. They have to be there.
Who has to appoint them? And what's the qualification of
the qualification? So their qualifications are basically they have to be Tamar Chachamim and they have to have the various midos that talks about when you and Yisrael tells Moshe to appoint Dayanim and later on when Moshe. You have to have, I mean, the whole concept why Smicha came about was basically for that reason, because people were passing halacha where they weren't qualified to do so. So the whole concept of Smicha, the Smicha that we have nowadays, that is, came out like that, but this way you should have a recognized rav certify that this person is actually able to pass in halacha. So by the same logic, yeah, you need that a dayan, if a dayan is going to be appointed, he needs to have some kind of certification.
Okay,
like that.
But who is going to make that?
So that in principle, it's the job of the leaders of the kehilla to make sure of that. In fact, in the Gemara, we learned this Gemara about Kama Muhammad Dayan Shein Hogun. We learned about it in Sanhedrin as well. And the Marsha over there in Chedusha Agadis, the Marsha, a little bit uncharacteristically, because usually he's just out to explain the Gemara, but over there he goes on a whole rant over there about how about leaders of Kehillas in his times who are accepting, who either people are paying them to be appointed as Dayanim, and they're being appointed, and they're completely unqualified, and the Gemara is saying over here, it's like planting an Asherah, especially you're overlooking the genuine Tamar Chachamim, and he's absolutely blistering about it. So yeah, well, the Marsha does that. The Marsha lived in the 1600s, yeah. So, He lives in Poland. He was a rabbi in various cities. Or he was a rabbi in various cities in Poland. The Alter Rebbe talks about, actually, and I think I mentioned this at the time, the Alter Rebbe, when he was 150, 200 years later, when he was arrested by the Russians, and they're interrogating him, and among other things, they asked him to explain just what is Hasidus all about. So he explains, basically, there was this problem developing in the Kehillot over there, that there were Rabbonim and Dayanim being appointed that are unqualified. In particular, they were not
instrumental.
No, this is before the Russian times, and he says this is under the Polish government. Abrabe continues over there. He says that now, under the Russian government, you guys don't tolerate that kind of thing, so things have improved in that sense. And therefore, what happens is, all this time, you had people who wanted to be able to be big in Avodah Satchvila. These unqualified Rabbonim and Dayanim would try to suppress that, because they don't care about Avodah Satchvila. They just want to make a big name for themselves in learning or whatever. So therefore, what would happen? So Hasidus, basically, the Alter Rebbe says, kind of had to go underground. Now that we're not under Polish rule anymore, now that we're under Russian and Austrian and whatever rule, now the Hasidim have come out. So you think it's a new thing, but really it's a continuation of a thing that goes back a couple hundred years.
So what's the difference between Polish and the Russian?
The Polish government was more corrupt. So whoever paid them the highest bribe, basically. So fine, a countess of a city would take a bribe from somebody, for example, to be appointed a dayan, and then he'd give a kickback to the local parts or whatever. Where the Russians were a little, at least at the beginning, were a little more circumspect about that kind of thing.
Before we finish, are we?
Yeah, we're gonna stop over here. Yeah.
Okay. Could you again clarify the differences between Zev Yochanan and Rav to really not 100%?
Okay, so Zav had said that if you have an Avodah Zarah that normally worships a stick, and you break a stick in front of it, then you're chayav because breaking a stick is the equivalent of shechting an animal. Then we have later on. Right. Later on, Rav Yochanan, without specifying what kind of Avodah Zarah it is, says that if a person shechts an animal that is mechoser eiver, that's missing a limb to Avodah Zarah, then he's potter. So that's the question. Is Rav Yochanan necessarily contradicting Rav? Because Rav is saying it doesn't matter whether it has a mum or not, as long as even a stick is not similar to what's done in the Beis Hamikdash, and yet you're chayav for it, how much more so an animal with a mum? So therefore, in that case, necessarily they have to be contradicting each other. Rav Yochanan would not accept Rav's concept that only if it's something that's normally used in the worship of the Avodah Zarah. On the other hand, you could say Rav is talking about an Avodah Zarah that's normally worshipped using sticks.
You could say both.
Rav Yochanan is talking about an Avodah Zarah that's not necessarily worshipped using animals. Therefore, you can't talk about whether it's Derech Avodasa, because it's not. You can only talk about whether it's Derech Pnim, and it's not, because Derech Pnim, they would never bring an animal with a mum to the Beis Hamikdash, and even the Goyim can't offer it outside the Beis Hamikdash. Therefore, no contradiction. If the Avodah Zarah is normally worshipped using an object, sure, you'd be chayav. If it's not, even if you do it slightly differently, let's say, maybe. But if it's not at all worshipped with that kind of object, then not. And again, the Rambam has a slightly different shit on it. He says, Rav Yochanan is specifically talking about a behemoth baal mum. You have a xeris akosim that a behemoth baal mum is out of the picture. Anything else, whether it's exactly like done in the Beis Hamikdash or similar, doesn't matter. You'd still be chayav as long as it's in some way similar to Avodah Zarah.
No, 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 no.